The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah.
You can't hit me, I'm a girl.
And Andy?
I don't care, I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here for another special off-season edition.
Every time, doesn't it?
PFW in Progress.
It's good.
You like that?
Yeah. So, they are becoming more special because they could end at some point based what I see on the screen right now on ESPN.
Look, I know that a lot of our listeners don't like us talking about this whole CBA stuff, but
we have to.
We're going to have to at some point today. So just get ready for that.
When we stop talking about it, might be because we're no longer allowed to talk on these airwaves.
Yeah. So that's up there. What else is going on, guys?
Well, we're getting ready for the Combine, which, again, we would love to talk about if... You know.
Well, you can talk about that.
Yeah, I know. But
day one of the franchise tag window, Fred.
Yeah.
Starts
today.
Flurry this morning of zero, from what I've seen.
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, everybody's saying this guy's going to get tagged. Tamba Ali,
Logan
Lamar
Mankins.
Woodley, Logan Mankins, Peyton Manning. But as far as I know, no one's officially filed anything, and I don't know if they will until we'll be
the
at
combine.
The Combine. The 24th is the deadline for it.
Right.
Because there's also some question as to the legality or veracity of the franchise tag. The use it, and all the agents said, you can't do that, it's not in the CBA, it's not in the rules.
It's
kind of irrelevant because the tag is irrelevant. You could have a window in August. You know, say they reach an agreement August 1st. I'm sure there'll be a window of August 7th. You must decide, use the new tag, whatever it's called under the new CBA.
I mean, if the union thinks that at some point these guys that could be tagged won't be, if a team wants them, forget about it.
Right.
They're going to be tagged eventually. You know, so if I'm a player, I'd rather know my team's intentions now than in August. You know?
Sure.
So let them.
But you also don't
know. Let them keep that window.
Because they might tag you under the deal now, which is $10.7 million,
and it could
was
be
last
a worse
year.
Deal.
Well, then
or
forward,
better, it could
so,
be $20
be
million
better,
for
yeah.
guards, and the Patriots go, whoa, I ain't tagging Logan Mankins at $20 million.
Right.
So you don't really know what the tag will be under the new CBA, for better or worse, for team or play.
Well,
or
it has to
player.
Be. Yeah, but I see what you're saying. If it's
useless.
Yeah.
Because
well,
it's a tag
useless.
Under an old deal. There is no
but
the new
it's,
deal.
It's
could
still
be different.
Based on salaries that have already been established. So
no, there is no official tag numbers for this year, right, Paul? That was my understanding.
That's what I was told, but I'm assuming that those are going to be tabulated based off of 2010, though, not 2011.
Right.
Well, they always are.
Right.
So the issue is,
so it's going to be a finite number,
right? No, because it's a finite number under the old deal. If the new franchise tag is not the average of the top 10 players at
yes.
then it's
okay,
irrelevant.
You're saying if they change the whole thing.
That franchise tag goes out
the
pooper on March 3rd at midnight when the rest of the deal does.
But, you're talking,
but assuming that
you're
the tag
about,
stays the way it is now, it's going to be under the salaries
right,
that were
in
2010.
That's kind of a bold assumption. If they can't agree on anything, to just assume that they're going to keep that or this. So I think it's kind of – I'm with Mankins. Why worry about it? Okay, they tagged me on something that last year was $10
million.
They
can't even agree to meet at this point. Right. So to just assume they're going to do anything is probably not wise right now.
So I think it's wasted thought on both sides to say it is legal, it isn't. Who cares? We'll figure it out when the rest of the deal comes.
Yeah, but teams will not If a team really wants to keep a guy and they're afraid of him going to free agency.
No. Listen, I don't mean to interrupt you, but every single player in the league is franchised as of March 4th. They cannot sign with another team. They cannot sign with their own team. There is no free agency. So there's basically a franchise tag on the entire league. Nobody can do anything.
But there's no chance that, these 500 or so, the owners in the union are going to agree on something that's going to stop these 500 or so guys who are slated for free agency that all of a sudden they won't become free agents.
No, but
I don't know if the years could change.
But those two things aren't really
that's
related.
He didn't let me finish. My point is, I think that...
Oh, here he goes now.
I think that... Well, you're the one that interrupted me. Now, you're getting mad.
I thought we had a discussion. I thought that's what we did on this show.
Yes,
exactly. Went back and forth.
A discussion.
Right.
Back
I thought
and
we
forth.
Went back
not
and forth
you,
when points were made.
Not
the
just
table.
You talking and everyone, you know...
It won't happen again, I promise.
Yeah, here we go. Playing the role
of
Eric.
This is what we do. This is what we do when we argue and we debate a topic.
Okay.
If we're going to have a little clock that's, it's getting yellow. Okay, my time is done. Now it's Fred's time. That's ridiculous. It's bad radio.
Here's the problem, Andy. You have to know your medium. We're on radio.
Yes, I know.
People, when we talk over each other, they can't hear
anything.
Yeah,
they stopped listening. That's why ratings have gone up for about 20 straight months, except for November when there was a holiday.
All of a sudden, he's just not going to listen to me. He's going to act like a little child.
Well, I think it's ridiculous to pick and choose when we change the format of our show.
Look, we've
are we changing it? Because if we're going to change it and we're not going to interrupt people, I'm fine with that.
We have had complaints of people saying, we talk over, they can't understand anything when we do that. They can't see us, so they don't know even who's talking.
Okay. All right?
And it's a valid criticism.
Can I butt in for a second?
Go ahead, Paul. That's the way you do it, Andy.
We have people that complain about everything.
I have to ask. Paul, I'm going to talk over you now, so it's okay.
But that makes
sense. If I warn you?
Does that not make sense to you and your big fat head?
No, it doesn't to me. We've done the same thing.
I'm glad I asked permission to butt in.
If I were the first person and the only person to interrupt on the show, okay, I'd say, yeah, that's an issue. But if you got to be freaking kidding me. If when you two have your 45-minute arguments, you don't talk over each other, you're living in a dream world.
Don't throw me in this. I'm being very good. 5 minutes in, I'm being very good.
When you're having a discussion, Andy, there's no reason to interrupt somebody. Let them finish and then make your point. Now, look at him. I can take that phone away from you.
You can. That's fine. You gave it to me. I don't really care.
You know, if that's going to be your little binky when
I can
when
sulk without a phone. So I don't need the. Oh, no, sorry, Fred. I'm sorry. You're talking.
Gonna
I can't talk.
I'm just going to look at Twitter. I'm not going to.
We don't try to talk over each other.
I know.
Obviously, we don't want to do that. But listen, the listeners complain about a lot of different things. They complain when we talk too much football. They complain when we don't talk enough football. They complain when we talk about the CBA. If we listened to every single complaint, we wouldn't have a show.
I think that's a but you do have to listen to your listeners.
Of course, I just said you don't want to talk over each other.
And I think it's a valid complaint. So whenever we can avoid that, we should.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, Fred.
Anyway, what I was saying is that I think that the owners, If they do intend to tag somebody at any point, they will do it in this window.
That's the only time they can.
Yeah. What Andy's saying is true. There might be another opportunity to do that later, but they're not going to run the risk of that happening. So
right.
Absolutes. Right. If the Patriots know, no way are we going to let Logan Mankins walk. They will tag him. You know, because
just to be safe.
Yeah, and they're not going to, you know, make any rule that's going to penalize people for having done that down the road.
Probably not.
Yeah.
They couldn't because the deal expires on March 3rd. Like,
right. Well, the argument is anything that they do right now in this 2 weeks is going to be rendered moot.
It could be.
No, it will be unless there's a deal made on March 4th.
If midnight strikes, it all goes out
by
the window.
March 4th, I should say, not on March 4th.
But any deal that they make can say, okay, we are going to honor
could.
The tags.
Or
the deal could say all new franchise tags are double.
Most likely it will. It will.
I agree with that assessment.
Yeah. There will be a franchise tag in the new deal. I think that's 100%
assured. Give you another example. We talked before about the overall salary cap. And, you know, a lot of people remember when this became the uncapped year, a lot of people said, oh, you know, then why don't teams just go willy-nilly and go crazy? And then we remembered back in, I think it was 1980 or so, when they had a similar situation and teams were retroactively penalized, you know, for going X percentage over the salary cap.
Yeah, I think that was in the 90s. Yeah. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't think that take the franchise tag that they'll have those types of penalties on teams that did that. You know, I think they will honor things that teams did under this current CBA and not penalize teams for having executed, you know, their options under this CBA.
The point is, if it gets ugly, and it looks like it's getting uglier by the day, not better, because they agreed to meet and then they started fighting by meeting. But if it gets ugly, then maybe the players say, you know what, screw you. No more franchise tags. We'll go back to work at some point when you remove the franchise tag. That could happen. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but it could.
Right. I have a question that's tied to this, but not specifically about whether or not they'll be able to use the franchise tag. If you're franchised and you agree to it and you sign the tender, obviously it's a, you know, as a veteran, you're guaranteed that salary for the season. When do you get that just like any other paid salary? It's weekly game checks?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like a team would run the risk of franchising a player, the guy agrees to it, and then he gets that money. He wouldn't get paid until September.
Yeah, right. The only guarantee is you have to have it guaranteed on your books. You have to have the cap space.
We talked about that on Tuesday. Fred brought that up.
Right, but no, it's paid out in 17 installments.
Does that include though
many installments?
Does that include the like the signing bonus or any of those the bonus money? Because you know, like,
well, the franchise guy doesn't get bonus money.
No, but any other player whose contract. You know, like if
well, that's why no one's going to sign. Like right now, there are, you know, and Florio had an item on this too. Anybody, any vested veteran that gets released now, like Sean Rogers got released this week, he's immediately, the Patriots could sign him right now. But they wouldn't because they're going to give him money that they don't have to give.
I was just wondering,
the lockout's going to
come. I was just wondering, in the case of like Peyton Manning, where we all know he's not going anywhere, if the Colts just decided, look, let's just get it done so that's one less thing we have to worry about.
And they may. There was talk of them wanting to do that.
Okay, so if he got whatever a $50 million signing
bonus,
he would get that now.
Whenever they agreed upon, you know, like Tom Brady got the two-tiered thing the first time. I don't remember specifically what he got this past time, but he got whatever they agreed upon to sign that day, and then the next date comes along.
He got it this time too. Right. Lockout insurance. It's a payment in
August.
That's right. Now there was some dispute as to who it insured and who felt better about it. But yeah, the Patriots, I want to say it's $10 million the Patriots will owe Brady in August. Now I don't know how that works because
if there's a lockout, they won't have to pay it to him, right?
If it were part of a signing bonus that was there, he's just allowing you to pay it separately.
Yeah.
I think that was guaranteed at the date, but he said you can pay it in 10 months.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not.
Those
privy.
Are the things that are going to get ugly
I'm
with
not
lawyers.
Privy,
involved.
Although I do have that contract, and I will look at that.
Yeah,
and
no,
see
I know.
If we can find some
language
on that.
No, there's no language. I've looked at it. There's no language in there that is.
Nothing that says
I mean,
lockout
it
insurance.
It says when it's to be paid, but if the whole big umbrella of the NFL doesn't really exist at that time, does this contract still valid?
Right.
But my guess would be because it had to be paid
before.
Technically before the lockout, even though he's allowing you to pay it in August, that. You still got to pay it.
I would think. I would have made those guarantees before.
And
I signed
I'm sure
it
they
if
know.
Him.
And if I were the Patriots, I'd pay it either way. I certainly don't want to be. Yeah. I'm in a fight with all players. I don't want a bigger fight with Tom Brady, my quarterback.
Certainly be very few players like that. That would be exceptions. Brady and Manning would be. You know, you mentioned would the Colts do Manning now? Maybe he would be an exception to a rule like that because
I really understand
you want to make sure
that.
You get him because they can't contact him.
But why would you sign him now?
Just to make sure you got it all straightened. Because what if Fred's scenario comes through and all of a sudden it's August and this thing gets straightened out and they give you like a 2-week window? Well, theoretically, you can't be talking to Peyton Manning about a contract between now and August.
No,
if there's a lockout.
But we know the contract. Bigger than Brady's, biggest ever.
Well, like, I mean, you're making it sound like there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, there is something to talk about because it's taken a while here and they have sort of addressed it a couple of different times or tried to address
it. No, but Ursay's been so open with, I'm just going to make him the highest paid player. So new system, old system, whatever the system.
And the franchise number would be insane because he's already over $19 million last year. So, you know, you're looking at like 20, what's 120% of that?
Yeah.
$23 million or something like that. I mean, that would be an insane number.
But, I mean, in an uncapped year right now, I mean, we're still in an uncapped year and who knows what the next year is going to be. I just think there's no chance they lose him.
No, so, I agree.
I don't
I
know
agree,
what,
but
I think you
mean,
could only lose.
Like, it's the same as the flip side of Fred's argument. I mean, yeah, I think there's no chance that anybody that gets tendered to a franchise tag right now, the teams aren't going to probably get penalized for that under a new set of parameters. But just like I don't think there's any chance that Peyton Manning leaves Indianapolis, but if you're the Colts, why do you want to even give it a 1% chance?
Because
sign him and make sure and if it's 100%.
No, but if you sign a deal now, it's under the old percentages. And if the cap goes down or is limited, if the owners get what they want, they're getting a rollback. So the players, the total amount to the players will be less. So now Peyton Manning's contract will be a bigger percentage of
the
new landscape.
And you have to weigh whether or not you do you think that's a bigger risk or losing him is a bigger
risk. Are
see, I don't think you can lose him. How? Yeah. I mean, how?
Chances are they'll grandfather in that. So if you have an, it's like the Larry Bird clause. If you had an existing player who's, you just signed this year, if that forced you to go over a new cap, that gets established because we roll things back, you'll get a that portion will be grandfathered. Chances are they'll do that. Because look, if I'm the union, again, I want to force teams to have to if you want to tag a guy, you're going to tag him. You know, because otherwise when we get back to playing again and this lockout's over, assuming there is one, everybody's a free agent that was to become a free agent. Because it's not like that lockout started March 4th or after. That's the beginning of a new season. All those contracts that were set to end then ended, as far as the union is concerned.
Right, but free agency won't necessarily begin. I mean, there could be some window, a week to do franchise tags. They may give a week to negotiate with your own or something. Yeah. You may have an extra window there.
But if I'm the union, that's a concession that I have to agree to make because I'd rather have it. The day this lockout ends, everyone who was to be a free agent is a free agent from that day on. In other words, we're giving the teams room to breathe here and not have to make a decision on a guy like Peyton Manning or Logan Mankins.
But when does the lockout end? I mean, technically it doesn't end until it's ratified, voted on, signed. But Robert Kraft can come back and say, Bill, here's what X, Y, and Z you're working with. It's going to be this. Salary cap will basically be this rule, and they can start to make decisions before it's actually the ink is dry on the real deal.
Yeah. But at what point can they start negotiating, contacting players?
Well, now you get into tampering. And were they talking to them the whole time?
It's really, really complicated.
And it's getting more complicated by the day, hour, and minute.
Yeah.
Not happy about that.
So I don't know.
When only a week ago we were very encouraged by the joint statement.
But this all started with today is the opening of the window to franchise players, and I would expect, maybe not today, but I would expect in the next 2 weeks in this window that players will be franchised.
It'll probably
it just makes sense.
When we're at the combine, because that's close to when the end of the league year will happen, and owners are probably going to want to know exactly if they came to an agreement or not and whether or not the rules have have changed or not, so it'll probably go till the very end while we're in Indianapolis.
But my question would be, because you can rescind a franchise tag anytime.
Yes.
A team can take it back.
That's true, yeah.
But technically the players can't sign it right now, right? Because you can also sign it anytime you're tagged. As soon as it's offered, you can sign it and guarantee yourself $10 million. But I wouldn't think they technically would be allowed to sign them, right?
Well, I think they sign them, but I think the agents and the union are encouraging them not to because they're trying to determine whether or not it's
going
to
be valid.
No, I know, but my point as an owner is
but I think
I would think 32.
Right? Why wouldn't you be able to sign it?
Because it's a 2011 contract, and there's no 2011.
But no, but that happens. Would happen after the fact. If you get tagged today, you're still under the CBA. And you sign it, and then obviously you're not going to get paid if the lockout happens.
But there may not be a CBA that includes a franchise.
But that's a whole different argument.
But I don't think a new CBA will make null and void anything that was signed prior to the new CBA. I don't think it will do that.
Probably won't.
And
but you
and
never
that,
know.
And that's in a nutshell what the union is arguing right now. They made a ruling. I forget if it was which arbiter that
Burbank?
No, I think he's the special master.
He's the special master.
Who here's the appeals, Burbank, Stephen Burbank.
Yeah, yeah.
They ruled in favor of the league on the franchise. They said they could because the CBA hasn't yet expired, so you can use the franchise tag. The union is trying to get that expedited for your boy to hear, I think Burbank, to see if that's valid.
Well, that's also another issue. Is I've heard, Robert alluded to it in, I don't know if it was the radio comments or the Super Bowl comments, that we need to get rid of these people that aren't in the football business as being the judges. That, and from what I understand reading it, if they get to a lockout, if they pass March 3rd, because technically they're working on the same labor agreement they've had since the lawsuit, since Reggie White. And because of that, there are certain things in place that these judges and whatever are the like the final say. If they get past that, they lose their power and it becomes a totally new deal. Sounds to me like maybe the owners want that. Maybe they're not happy with some of these judges, special masters.
Well,
and
a lot of people have speculated, even just as early as today or as late as today, that the owners have always wanted a lockout. They've always really wanted a lockout.
No, but my point would be maybe they have some of the numbers even worked out. You know, they're not, but maybe they just feel like we need to go to March 4th, do a new CBA that eliminates these guys, these judges and special masters from the continuation of the CBA in the Reggie White litigation. And maybe it's not as ugly as it looks, and they just want that out, and the only way to do that is to have a one-day, two-day lockout, technically, to get past it.
Why do you say that, Fred, that about the owners wanting the lockout? Because of what he said?
To be able to
what
clear
Andy
a
said?
Lot of this stuff
yeah.
out.
There's some stuff yeah. that is it just rolls over from one to the next.
But can't you get that done without a lockout?
It doesn't sound like it, because it's some of this involves the politics of antitrust and labor negotiations and the lawsuit with Reggie and all that's government. That they have their rules, and as long as you're working under this deal, we preside over it.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know.
It's ugly.
Let's see, Rich says, great show, enjoy your talks in the CBA. Instead of the billionaires and millionaires fighting over every last dollar with a possible lockout, I was thinking how great it'd be to have the voice of the real fans that have followed the game for years to have a say in the negotiations. Why not lower ticket prices, the salary cap, and player salaries? With increasing costs, who can afford to take their families to the games? I see a lot, and then he's cut off there. I don't know what happened to him.
An owner got to him. Jerry Jones came up behind him with a knife, and it's over.
I was thinking today, you know, why not the owners propose a mutually agreed upon pool reporter who has access to these meetings, who reports objectively or as objectively as possible about the proceedings, so we know when somebody's acting up and acting the fool.
That'd be great. That'd be great from our standpoint.
Who would you nominate?
One of us.
Yeah, well, that ain't happening.
I meant a mildly, like, realistic.
Somebody, who's the most objective football reporter out there these days?
Well, my question would be, does it have to be a football reporter? Because I think they all lack objectivity.
Yeah, what if they got a news reporter?
Okay.
That's what
I could be more objective because they might not have a dog in either fight.
Right. Yeah. Could be, yeah. But somebody reporting for the fans.
Well, just reporting for the truth.
Because all we hear is
the truth.
Spin.
Exactly. I don't care about, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't care about the fans.
No, I was going to say, I don't care about getting one angle or the other. I want to get everything out
all
there.
All we ever hear is the spin. It's either coming from one side or the other because no one has access to what's really going on.
Chris Mortensen either had an owner source or a player source.
It would be great to have like a 12 jury. You pick 12 independent reporters who aren't, you know, sports reporters or NFL specific reporters. Have them all sit there, and then you have it doesn't have to be 12. I'm just saying.
Keep it fair. Keep it fair.
How about the old lady who always used to get the first question of the president?
Oh, God,
she's not working anymore.
Ellen Thomas? No. Yeah.
Throw her in there.
No, because she was a stick of dynamite. She would always throw out these ridiculous questions. And
I'm okay with that.
Strippers recommends Darren Ravel. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's really popular now.
Who is he?
He's this sports reporter, but he's like
sports
really
business.
Yeah, but he's like really into the technology and
CNBC.
Yeah,
business money guy.
Yeah. I mean, he might be good. I don't know. Eleanor says, if you're going to name the best three NFL reporters in America, who would you go with, Paul? Besides your Boo Ray buddy, Mike Ray, who is the best reporter on the Patriots beat?
Who's my Boo Ray?
Boo Ray? What? Who is he saying?
Boo Ray buddy.
Boo Ray.
Boo-ray is a card game that the players used to play.
They still play a lot on the planes. Matter of fact, that's what the who was the guy that just got in a fight? NBA guy got in a fight on a plane or something.
Oh, the teammates. They were teammates. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Gilbert Arenas.
No,
there was another one.
There was another
one
that just happened recently. Yeah. And that was what it was over. It was one of those Boo-ray games. I don't even know how to play. I don't even know what it is.
Other than Mike Reese, best Patriots reporter.
Cameron Grigsby.
Yeah.
Why is it other than Mike Reese, though? Why does he start out?
Because he's the standard.
Well, I think Karen Grigsby is probably the best Patriots reporter.
I think she's the best reporter by far. including Mike Reese. No offense to Mike Reese. I think Karen is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's only luck so many times when you stumble upon stories before you say, she's just good. It's not luck.
Yeah. She does stories. Mike does more analysis and,
information.
Stuff. Yeah.
She's a dog, a reporting dog. Yeah. I think you could put her on any beat and she would do a good job.
She was great. She used to cover the Bruins.
No, but I mean, like, I think if I sent her to Capitol Hill, she would sniff out a story and be tracking something down.
I agree. Nationally, I like Adam Schefter. I think he's a pretty good information guy. I don't care really for his analysis because I don't really think he knows a whole lot.
Wow.
No, I think
he's a good information guy.
Right.
I think a lot of the same way about the people around here. I think there's some good information guys, but not really a lot of guys that know a lot about the game.
You can be good at gathering information and reporting it. You can be good at analyzing the information that's reported or what you see happen.
This is where I think we excel.
Where we can do both.
I think we're good analysts.
But I think, but there are people who can do both. They can, I mean, it's rare, but you can gather information.
Just not around here.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's why it's rare.
Where's my sub open?
Okay, so that's a good topic. Best Patriots reporter, best NFL reporter nationally. It's funny that Peter King isn't in the conversation anymore. He used to have.
Well, I think if you asked most NFL fans, Peter King would be in their top three.
You think so?
But I just think he's so agenda-driven, people don't realize
it. He's done for himself nationally what Ron Borges did for himself locally. He's done some things that kind of painted himself in a corner. Harry in Maryland says, this is back when on Tuesday, we're talking about the end of the year awards. He says, don't overthink them. The MVP is the man or woman judged to be the outstanding player in a sport during a particular season or championship. Simply put, who lit it up? It is the importance to the league, not the team. I disagree. The comeback player, I think this is more tongue-in-cheek, is a return to a former position or condition. Simply put, be good, have a bad time, then be good again. Vic went from third-string quarterback in 2009 to winning starter in 2010. If Moss gets 1,200 yards and 10 TDs next season, he should win the award. What do you think about that? Would Randy Moss be eligible for a comeback player of the year award?
Under their guidelines, yeah.
Did he get votes in 2007?
I don't have any idea.
I mean, his career was on life support, everybody pretty much assumed, and now he's the best receiver in the game again.
I think he did.
I personally wouldn't consider him because I think that you have to, you don't just stink and then come back. I don't really, you know, what did he come back from?
Prison.
Whined his way out of one situation into another one that he ended up not liking, and then he took the rest of the season off.
Well,
I was talking about Vic.
Well, I think...
No, Vic wasn't the third-string quarterback last year, by the way.
Okay. Jack Daniels from the UK says, hey, guys, including Eric after his performance on Tuesday. Wow, Eric, you moved up.
They dropped. They dropped right before our eyes. They dropped.
I saw an interesting article on NFL.com by Steve Weish about teams that might make the playoffs next year. He included Tampa Bay and Detroit if Stafford stays healthy. What do you guys think? Personally, I believe that the Lions really could do it at the expense of Chicago if they beef up their O-line to protect Stafford, who I think is tremendous. I really like Javid Best in their backfield, too. And, Fred, since I'm from England, I can categorically tell you that nobody in England has an accent like the one you had on Tuesday, but it was freaking hilarious
anyway. That's what made it funny.
I also stepped up to the plate this week and subscribed to PFW, and I couldn't think of a better way to spend $30. So everyone out there who listens and hasn't subscribed, get on it. Love the show. Keep up the great work. And here's hoping to no lockout. Yeah. We're all hoping for that. All right. Lunch is here, and it's made possible by strippers. Is that right?
Yep. Oh, I have a read.
Really? Is it clean?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Andy's a professional.
You want me to do it now, or you want
to? What's he hucking now? Yeah, let's do this, and then we'll go to the break.
Thinking about decorating or moving into a new home, and you need custom window treatments? Verticals Etc. has the answer. We carry everything you need, from vertical blinds to honeycomb shades, Roman shades, wood blinds, and more. Free in-home shopping. We bring the showroom to you. Free estimate. Free installation. We carry Hunter Douglas and Graber Blinds. Come into our store at 93 Lowell Road in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Or visit us.
grabber blinds. Why would I grab her blinds? I'd rather grab something else. You just ruined my read. See, you can't sell this now. 93 Lowell Road in Hudson, New Hampshire. Visit us online at blindsnh.com or call 1-800-742-1055. That's verticals, etc. at blindsnh.com.
We will truly work for food. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos, Danny was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her, but online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight. Matter of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Thanks, Stripper, for lunch.
He became singular.
Alden from Brighton says, Fred, your argument on behalf of the owners makes no sense at all and only reveals that you have probably just recently been instructed by Jonathan Kraft on what to say and try to make the owners' blatant greed look more palatable. Fred, the very reason that the owners want to keep their books private is because they don't want everyone to see how much freaking money they are making. It is absurd for you to suggest that they just want privacy for privacy's sake. people keep private because they have a motive to not let certain information be known to other people. Whatever could the reason be, it will be very difficult for them to get the fans on their side if the fans saw the books, because then everyone would see without question that this is just about greed. Well, the problem with Alden's argument is the players know how much they're making. They know the bottom line. They don't know necessarily their expenses, and they don't know the line item, but they know all the money that comes in.
Do they know all the stuff you were talking about? The unincluded revenue?
Yes, they from the every team is audited. That's why Florio knows that in all revenue, the players are getting about 50% when you factor in that other stuff. Of the shared revenue, they're getting 59%. You know?
So just, you know, out of curiosity.
That's where this other billion comes in.
Then why the reluctance to actually open it all up?
Because.
Why not full transparency?
Because there are stuff like, how much am I paying my son? How much am I paying?
That's, so you think that, you really think that's why that they don't want anybody else to know?
I think that's part of it. I think these, every one of these 32 owners believe they are private businessmen. Even though they're part of this league, they run a private company. They don't have stock, except for Green Bay, which obviously those books are open and is public. They don't have to answer to stockholders. They do stuff with their taxes that probably is borderline. I'm sure that every one of these owners take every advantage they can when it comes to finding loopholes because they own this business. You know, when they have an addition built in their home, they're issuing the contractor a 1099 that's out of the team business, and they're writing that off their taxes. Okay?
They're in competition with the other owners,
obviously.
There's
millions of examples like that and reasons why they wouldn't want to open their books.
Right.
And it doesn't
Is
have...
Is there any particular reason why you would give such a specific example?
No.
Why would you do that?
Because I was talking to a guy, because my wife has a business. He says, well, why don't you have your son work for that business and pay him a certain amount, take half back, and write it off your... You know, he was doing all this stuff because you own a business. You know, when you... He said, did you have any work done recently in your house? And I said, well, we had to fix, there was some leakage in the bathroom. We had to put a new ceiling in there. He goes, well, why don't you just issue the contractor a 1099 from your wife's business and write it off your taxes? I would never have thought about that before.
Is it legal?
Let me tell you, 32 owners know that. That's how they got that rich. So there's a million reasons. There's a million reasons why they wouldn't want to open their books.
Plus political.
And I'll bet you number 50 on the list is, so people know how much money we're making. It's what we're doing with that money that they don't want people to know.
No, but aren't there like, I mean, if you agree to open those books, wouldn't the players be bound by some sort of like confidentiality? Or
that's what I was thinking.
Like that's why you own a private business. That's why you decide, I don't want to make my business public, because I don't want to go under that scrutiny. I remember my first job, I worked for a publisher in Weston, Mass. And he told me, he says, I will never go public. I would never have a public company. Because I don't want to have to be, first, I don't want to have to answer to stockholders and a board of directors. And I don't want to be under the public scrutiny that a public company has.
Well, but I think that's different. I think that's a different argument than dealing with the people who are under your employ. You're not, if Andy and I have an issue with you, Fred, and we say, we don't think you're being fair with us. We ask you to reveal your books to us, we'll do so on the agreement, like Andy said, that we don't publicize it. It's just between us. The issue we have is between you and me and Andy. We'll keep it that way. Whenever we come to the agreement, we'll just sign a confidentiality, like the social network.
I'd tell my wife, just so you know.
Remember?
Right, and then she'd tell two friends. Right. Exactly.
No, but
then Ken Flanders finds out, and it's on CNN. Like,
we were just talking yesterday about the social network,
there's a reason why they
Fred.
Call it a private company.
But you and I were talking about Social Network, the movie that just came out, and how at the end they say that the twins, who were the rowers, ended up getting $65 million or whatever, and then the other guy, Eduardo
Suarez,
got an undisclosed amount because it was a so he kept it confidential. That was part of the agreement.
But I read what the amount was. My point is, it still got out there anyway.
It might
he
have
got
gotten out,
but
it's not because of him.
It doesn't matter why it got out or how it got out. It got out.
Well, maybe an assiduous reporter.
It got out there, and life just stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
The world stopped rotating. End of business
Facebook,
as we know
Facebook
it.
Is still doing
Those guys
pretty good
don't make
as far
the amount
know.
Of money that they used to make because why? that got out there what the guy was set with the settlement
what
was.
What if
you have nothing to hide, there's no reason why you have to hide it.
What, Paul, you didn't listen to what I was saying. I'm saying they do have things to hide, but probably it's not how much they're making because they don't want the union to know how much they're making. The union knows how much they're making. It's all the other stuff they're doing with their business. You know? And again, you know,
But if they're doing something wrong, they should be exposed for it.
Well, that's a good, that's a,
yeah, but they're certainly not going to expose themselves.
Right. Why would they do that to themselves? This is about a deal. See, and the owner's argument is, look, everything you need to know to make our deal, you know. You don't need to know what I'm doing with my charitable foundation. You don't need to know.
You know what I love?
This sound
dirtier by the minute.
You know what I love?
Well, you know what? I can't imagine that there isn't at least one owner that's doing some funny business with that. I can't imagine that. I'm not going to name names, but I can't,
Thank you,
because it's all speculation, but I can't imagine that there's one owner that's not doing something with tax loopholes, with private stuff.
I just love it when,
I can't imagine
when
that.
Other people tell me what I need to know and what I don't need to know. You
well,
don't,
that's the
you don't need to know that. You don't have to worry about that. Don't apply for that job, Andy, because it's really beneath you. You don't need to have that job. It's not something you'd be interested in. Again, if you have nothing to hide,
right?
If you're on board,
they do have things to hide.
Then that's their fault,
right? But this negotiation, according to them, has nothing to do with that.
According to them,
right? Well, that's
according
what they,
to them.
But
again,
now
if
you're
I'm,
arguing
if I'm the
players' side,
union,
right?
No, I'm not arguing the players' side. I'm saying this in this particular example. I'm saying the players have an easy retort. Don't tell me what I don't need to know.
Exactly.
If I want to know
we'll be
it,
the judge of
and
that.
We're negotiating honestly. We right. should be negotiating.
Look,
I'm sure the players have things they want to hide too.
And the owner, yeah, like their blood samples.
Right.
Exactly. So they fight hard not to have them. And we say, the owners say, and every, hey, look, if you're clean.
The difference is the owners don't want to have want to know.
But the fans say, look, if you're clean, have the test. What do you have to hide?
Clean
and they say,
what?
My privacy.
And the owners don't want that.
Well,
that's the difference.
Forget about the owners. I'm just saying, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, why not do it? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why you don't want to reveal things. And it's a list of things. Look, again, the owners, the players, the union knows how much revenue is coming in and what that leftover is that's not being shared right now. They know what that difference is. The owners just don't want to open their books to see all the stuff that they're doing with that private business. And you laugh.
No, I'm more interested in the books now. You make it sound more and more interesting every time.
Well, let me tell you something.
The charitable foundations, believe
me. Let
me
tell you, there's 32 separate sets of books, and every one of them look completely different. I guarantee you. And that's what the owners feel. That's my part of this business. That's my private part of this business. That's why I invested $300 million in this team to have this. And for that investment, I should have a little bit of privacy here. You know what I'm making. You know the part that's going to be shared. But I have the right to keep that part of it closed. Paul's argument and the player's argument is completely valid. What are you hiding? And the owners say, that's my business. What I'm hiding. That's my business. You know what I'm making. You know what I'm not sharing and what you're not getting. Okay? But I'm not going to open these books. And you don't need to know what I'm doing with this money to make this deal that we have to make here. And that's their argument. And look, what I said, owners could never say that. They could never say, hey, the guy next to me might be doing stuff with taxes.
But I'm sure they're glad that you said it for them.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm sure they don't like that. But that's the reality.
All right.
You know,
you don't need to swear.
I was going to say that's the facts. I don't know facts, you know, because that's my speculation.
I was going to say facts, but it's not appropriate.
That's
here.
My speculation. But.
But
don't you think it makes sense?
Don't the players need to know how much the owners, because they only know revenue. They know income, correct?
Right.
Don't they need to know how much the owners are spending, the cost of doing business?
I think that they should.
Because that's how you figure out how much someone's making.
Right.
If they're bringing in $9 billion and their cost of doing business is like $100,000,
yeah.
Well, then they're making
a huge boatload of money.
Right. But if their cost of doing business is $8.5 billion, okay, well, now they're not making nearly as much money.
Well, then it gets to the whole, you know, it gets very complicated because it gets to the whole revenue sharing between owners. You know, Mike Brown is making a baseline that every team makes, but he's not spending as much because he doesn't market his team, he doesn't get naming rights, and, you know, all that stuff. He's not doing everything he can, and his argument will be, well, I can't make as much as the Dallas Cowboys because of my market. You know, so that's going to be 32 different books as well. And
but don't you think the players, now, maybe I'm being naive, would be somewhat reasonable in their analysis of some of that? I mean, for all we know, Mike Brown is making the most of any owner, that pocketing it because he doesn't invest, whereas Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft are doing all these things that cost them money trying to make more money.
Right.
We don't know exactly who's making what.
Right. And again, there's 32 different scenarios for that.
Right.
It's really but the bottom line, the owner says, look, if I do a really good job with these unshared revenues, that's my right. That's I invested in this team and with my I'm at risk here, and so I have a right to try to make as much profit as I can. That's America.
And the players are willing to allow that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying we'll keep the current deal, and that's the current deal, right? Those unshared revenues, if you maximize those, that's all profit, 100% profit.
And that's the other side of the argument, and I think it's perfectly valid, So what the owners have yet to be able to convince the union of is in order to grow, we need to start putting money back in. And at the current deal, we can't afford to do that.
But who are we growing for is also the...
For the overall pie that we share.
No, but the overall growth, if these technologies or whatever are all going to blow up like they think they are, and you have 100% of the profit from that, well, you're going to get the fruit. Players won't get the fruit, right? Because it's unshared.
No, they will. When they invest in, better... Well, they believe when they invest in better stadiums or if they grow the game to 18 games or go into international, that is part of the shared revenue.
No, I know. Yeah. But some of the other stuff isn't. Right? Internet and stuff and technology in that direction.
And I think that's why the owners walked out when the players, offered, hey, let's do 50% of all revenue because they believe that unshared part, we can't share it. A, because I want to keep it. Yeah, part of it is greed. Part of it is, I feel the right to make some money here because I invested all this. But also part of it is we know we're going to put a portion of that back into things, and if we start sharing it now, that portion that we can reinvest becomes less because the players aren't going to be doing any investing.
No, well, you look at it too, though. It's such a complicated issue on all sides. But the owners are all in it. Let's just say 90% of the owners are in it for the long term. They're going to be owning these teams for 10, 20, 30, in Rooney's case, 50 years. That's what they're doing. That's how they're choosing to make a living for the rest of their lives, a lot of them. I can't see the Kraft family ever leaving the
Patriots.
Not
even their lives. It's the life of their family, their name.
Well,
business.
That's my point. A player looks at all those things, and I recognize as a player, I need to do what my forefathers, for lack of a better term, did for me, too. And they fought for free agency, and they made it a better league, and they grew the pot. And I want to do my part, too, to help generations after me. But I also have to say, I've spent my whole life knowing that if things went perfectly well, maybe, cross my fingers, I could have maximum earning potential for 10 years. I have no other way to make this kind of money in my life. Owners do. Owners can, if it doesn't work, if they take a bath on this particular CBA, they'll try to fix it for the next one. And they'll still be there. But if the players get screwed on the CBA, this is a one-time shot for them. This is when they have to make money.
For this class of players.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's who we're dealing with, is the current union.
Well, that's,
do you know what I mean?
That's always the
it's
argument.
It's such a complicated thing.
Is, do I look out for me personally or me, the individual player long term?
And they will, and I do think that they will look at it and say, we have to do stuff for future generations of players, too. They have to. But at the same time, if it goes wrong for that, all I ever hear is the owners make these investments and the owners have all this pressure and the owners have all this on the line and all this to lose. A player has 5 years to make a lot of money, and that's what it's going to have to sustain him for the rest of his life, and with very, very few exceptions. There are guys, that can make very successful careers off of their name post-football. There's a lot of guys like that, but not percentage-wise in relation to the amount of NFL players right now that are looking for a new contract. So there's a lot more pressure to me on the players in these things than on the owners. The owners are going to make their millions, regardless of what happens. The players aren't.
If it doesn't go well for the players in this thing, they're not going to get their money 5 years from now.
Yeah, but do you really?
The owners will.
I know, but really, when we talk, you know, I get Adam Schefter said basically they're quibbling over $1 billion. That's what they're quibbling over. You know, quibble.
I'd like to quibble over $1 billion.
But when you spread all that money
I
out,
quibble over 500.
You know, really, you know, I hear what you're saying, Paul, but if a player makes 10% less than they're making now, they're still doing pretty good in today's.
But you don't think that's a much bigger loss for a player than the and then an owner making 10% less now?
The owner has
30 years to make that up. A player doesn't.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying it's not a travesty. It's not.
Listen, we started this whole thing a couple of weeks ago saying it's going to be awfully tough to sit here and take a side on this because, quite frankly, you, me, Andy, we cannot relate
guys
fight billionaires fighting millionaires,
right,
which is exactly the way it's been portrayed in the media, and it's accurate.
Accurately, exactly.
It's accurate. It's billionaires fighting millionaires, and it's hard to grasp that concept. But all I ever hear is about how much pressure and how out there the owners are for their investments, and I never hear any pressure from the players. This is all a lot of them, this is how they lived 22 years in preparing for this dream, and now they're here, and if they don't get it, what are they going to do?
Yeah, but they
in many cases, in
they
most
will get
cases.
It. I mean, they're going to get it no
but
matter
what.
What? They're going to get more than 10 times more than any average American could possibly ever think to make. And,
wow.
You know,
for a very short amount of time.
And the financial advisors that come in to talk to the teams, one of the first things they say to these players, because a lot of teams bring in independent guys to kind of help them, they say, look, if you manage your money right and you stay in the league, and I know what the number is now. I think it used to be 3.5 years. But if you stay in the league for whatever this time is, you should be all right for the rest if you do it right.
Oh God, yeah. If you're in the league 5 to 10 years with the salaries they're making, there's no excuse.
But he just said 3.5.
Well,
and,
I don't think that's accurate.
And how many of those players?
That could be like
that's
900 grand.
Kevin, we're hearing that noise, by the way.
How many guys do you think on the Patriots make more than $1 million?
More than you'd think, but
15?
Maybe.
Just on salary or with endorsements
and everything? This year's salary. 2010 salary. How many players on the Patriots' 53-man roster or 61-man roster
do you think? 1 to 2 dozen.
So let's just say 24. I think that's high, by the way. But let's just say 24. That's more than half of them that aren't set for life, no matter what they do with their money.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, literally, a guy could make 275, 325, and 350. There's his 3 years.
Right.
So, but that's gross.
His agent
hasn't taken his 5%. The government hasn't taken their 20%.
I don't know what that number is, but
I thought you needed $1 million to live on even if you retired at like 72, and these guys are retiring at 24. I mean, I think you need a little more money than that.
It could be, but
if you're a bright guy and you're fortunate and you make some wise investments
and have some good luck
and you have some honest people that are working with you and for you rather than predators that are taking the money away from you. Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, a special teamer for 5 years who's making, you know, $440,000. Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah.
He can get by, but that's not a lot of money.
No, but they're not saying
in the grand scheme of
your life at 25. I think they're saying that if you do the right thing with this money, then you can pretty much work any job and be comfortable.
Look, a guy like Lonnie Paxton, right?
Again.
A guy like Lonnie Paxton had virtually no shot of making the NFL except as a long snapper. He makes it. He builds a 10-year career. He signs this ridiculous contract with New England and then with Denver. He's got more money than he will ever need. He's done. He's set. He does not have to work another day in his life.
When it comes to, you know,
but I'm just saying, a guy like that who builds like a 10-year career making mid to high six figures should never have to work a day in his life when he leaves this league.
Right.
But
I just think it's a
minority.
It's a minority, and it's a very short amount of time still to me. I mean, he's going to be 35 years old, and now what does he do? Now, some of them will have something
nothing
to do.
No, but he's financially set, a guy like Lonnie Paxton. I'm thinking of a guy like Kyle Love, who may play 3 years, leaves the league having made $872,000.
Total.
Has
combined.
No skills, really, is now behind.
Right.
Even if he's a hard worker, he's behind in the average world.
But that's the way he is now. That's what's going on right now.
But what I'm saying is his shot is what he's doing. So he needs to maximize his shot. Anybody can do anything. Everybody's got a chance to go dig a ditch for the next 40 years and survive.
But that's what I'm trying to say.
He's doing his shot right now, and he needs to maximize that shot. And there's some value there. I mean, like Logan Mankins, he's been in the league 6 years. Let's say, hypothetically, there's a two-year lockout. Like, worst-case scenario, this gets as ugly as crap. He's costing himself tens of millions of dollars because even though he's a two-time All-Pro, he has now two less earning years. He's now an older guy. He's technically an eight-year veteran, even though he's only a six-year veteran. I mean, that's costing him significant money.
And that's leverage that the owners think they have because they players are looking at that and saying, look, I can't afford to.
Which is where DeMaurice Smith has a tough job because he's – now, I don't know
he's
anything about him.
He's got to take care of so many different guys that have so many different personal agendas.
But right. He has to look out for Kyle Love as well as Kyle Love circa 2020.
Right.
And those are two very contradictory things.
And that's why even Peyton Manning and Kyle
right.
Love.
Right. And that's why it's great that Tom Brady's a player rep. You know, show that leadership, but really, does he have the same type of perspective on this whole
right.
thing than a guy that's struggling?
If he came right. to me and said, Kyle, and I just don't know why I'm using Kyle Love, but it's Kyle, we gotta be strong. This is for about generations of players. My response would be, F you. You made $100 million. Your wife makes $30 million. It's easy to be strong when you're in Costa Rica lying on the beach.
Right.
And
I'm in Mississippi paying my iPhone for $100 a month and thinking, wow, if I have to pay this for a few more months, it's going to start to get costly, all these little expenses that when I was making 280 grand didn't seem quite as big.
And if you have the Andy's example of Kyle Love, first of all, which I think
very
makes
nice
up
man, by the way.
Makes up a greater majority of the league than Tom Brady's.
Than anyone really understands.
Right. I mean, I think the majority of players are guys that make six-figure salaries, which to me is a ton of money. But to a football player who spent his life dreaming of playing the NFL is not a ton of money, and certainly not enough money to live off of when you're retired at age 28 and have no discernible skills. I don't know what Kyle Love's situation is. I'm not saying that Kyle Love can't go and sell
insurance. Right.
Okay, maybe he can.
Funny we both thought
well, Max, well, I just thought of Max Lane.
Right.
Okay.
But we know that a large percentage of them are not overly intelligent, overly skilled, overly prepared.
Maybe he is, maybe he's not.
To maximize.
My first thing is, that's the majority to me of players in the NFL, is that 24 and down on the roster, making $600,000 if they can stick around for 4 or 5 years.
Mm, which is above average.
Right.
And 3 years is the average.
I'm not so sure that those guys want to sit there and say, with Fred's example, yeah, we can take 10% less. It's still a lot of money. No, well, that 10% for that guy is a big difference. The 10% out of the $9 billion for the owners ain't such a big difference to me.
Well, it's $900 million. That's a lot of money.
No, but
it's more money for the owners. In the actual revenue, it's more money. It's a bigger difference to the guy who's making $500,000.
It's the same reason that
it's like if I got fined what the players get fined, it's a much bigger amount of money for the player. It hurts me a lot more
right.
if it's the same percentage right. of our salaries.
And the owners could always just sell their team or go into another business. I mean, these are guys that have a valuable asset. The players have one valuable asset, their career, their body. If Robert Kraft wanted to, right, if he just got fed up, Forbes tells me this team is worth $1 billion. Okay, they're in a lockout, so maybe it's devalued by 10%, 20%.
He
still can walk away
loss.
With $800 million in cash and say,
I'm just
"That sucked. I liked owning in the NFL."
I'm just going to concentrate on the paper business.
My bank is big now. My bank account.
Or I'm just going. I'm tired of this. You know, I'm going to enjoy my retirement years, and we'll leave it to the kids.
It's the same reason
and
why
go and run the paper company.
Same reason why people who are opposed to the flat tax make that argument, because they say, you know, 25% isn't a lot to someone who makes $10 million, but it's a hell of a lot to someone who's at the poverty line or whatever.
Right. Robin in Alaska says, the listener that just attempted to rake Fred over the coals is wrong on so many levels. The biggest point of absurdity was, why do they want it to be kept private? They must be hiding something, concept which the listener spewed. This is the United States of America. Cue the music. To start believing that people are hiding something just because they don't wish to be an open book is counterproductive to every freedom we all live for. There are completely valid and legal reasons to stay a closed book. We must all rally against the police state mindset. I will not be profiled and will not stand idly by as someone else gets railroaded.
Who's that?
That is Robin in Alaska.
And I like it, Robin. Police state.
Says,
I like it.
Insert Braveheart rant. And P.S. Damn you, Mel, for tainting that glorious scene. Yeah. Mel Gibson really screwed up. He could have been like the ultimate man's movie maker. But he really just...
Can you watch anything that he does
now? No, I can't. Even though they're great movies, but I think about what an ass he is.
Even some of the old movies that I've already seen and I liked, I look at differently when I see them come on.
I don't. I watched Braveheart the other day.
Well, you don't care, but I care.
Well, no, I separate between the person and the performance.
No, and I think that, you know, like Kramer and Seinfeld.
It's like when everybody says, Roethlisberger, how could you possibly root for him? Well, I generally think each team has a dozen guys that are despicable.
But what Gibson did kind of went.
I understand Andy's point, though. You can, I mean, you can separate it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I watch The Entertainer. I assume they're all dinks. Are we going to talk about the Patriots news?
What do you got?
The coaches?
Well, Corwin Brown out, reportedly.
Yeah.
Mike Woisek. Sounds like he's going to Dallas. I don't know that it's been finalized. Be their strength and conditioning coach.
Yep.
And so you got a little more shakeup in the coaching staff. And we know Bill is often hesitant to bring from with outside the organization.
And Ian Rappaport keeps intimating that there's more to come. Yeah. Like he said today, it's going to be a very busy day.
I think the more to come is
he was trying to play catch up.
Maybe some of these titles are going to – I mean, to me, that's not any more to come.
Right.
Unless someone,
I think it's a lock. Bill O'Brien's going to be the offensive coordinator
this
offseason.
Right, and to me, that's not more to come. To me, more to come would be...
Titles. Nothing wrong with them.
You know, Dom Capers is coming in as the defensive coordinator from the outside. I mean, that's more to come.
That'd be a good...
You know what I mean?
Good guess.
To me, if Brian Ferentz is promoted from a regular coaching assistant to a positional coach...
To tight ends coach.
Which,
you know, the role he held all year.
The role he filled last year, or Brian Flores is the new safeties coach to replace Corwin Brown. That, to me, is not any more to come.
I thought the most interesting thing, though, was Jeff Howe of Nesson.com. There were some allusions by Ian and some other people, Shalice, that Corwin Brown didn't have a lot of allies in the locker room, that he irritated some veterans, according to Shalice, by making them stay till the end of meetings and getting upset if they took bathroom breaks during meetings, which I think I always thought was kind of assumed. If I have a meeting, you stay till the end of it. But he actually had a source.
I get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the show.
Yeah, that's because you have a problem. Jeff Howe had a source that said he couldn't coach. Just can't coach. Corwin Brown.
I heard this. You know,
which I found stunning that somebody would go on the record as saying the guy can't coach. I mean, he's been in the league a while now. He worked in the NFL with the Jets. Went to Notre Dame as their defensive coordinator. Flat out can't coach.
What?
Maybe it was Heath Evans. Remember he ripped
out of shots at Brian Daboll.
Remember he took the shot at the... Yeah, it was Daboll.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't
Jeff Howe today that wrote it, but somebody wrote that not a lot of players were on the Corwin Brown bandwagon.
Well, Ian's been writing it nonstop, and he tweeted it, and Kerry Rhodes immediately responded with, I got his back any day he needs it, or I'll vouch for him, and he coached him with the Jets. He was the safeties coach that worked there with the Jets. So I just find to say a guy can't coach, flat out can't coach, come on now.
Yeah. Well, I
would find it hard to believe that you could ascend to that level.
And by the way, Bill Belichick hired a guy who can't coach. Like, I understand it doesn't work out. It wasn't great.
Oh,
but
that I totally get. Maybe his philosophies didn't jive with Bill.
But
wanted.
Can you see Bill bringing somebody in who doesn't have the capability?
Yeah,
as a coach.
I'm assuming he got a reference from Charlie Weiss.
Well, plus Bill knew
plus
him
Bill
a little
knew
bit.
Him. Yeah. Bill knew him.
Yeah, as a player.
I think even more so. I mean, based on just how close the family is, his inner circle.
Yeah.
I just find it. Listen, if you want to tell me that his techniques or his philosophies differed from what Bill did, and they needed to go their separate ways, maybe he just wasn't a very effective communicator. Whatever. Any of that, I'll buy. The fact that he didn't have the knowledge to coach, wasn't a good coach.
And
not buying.
And Charlie never noticed.
No one ever noticed.
No one ever noticed. Yeah. But these, I shouldn't say that. I assumed it was a player source.
I assume it is too. Source, and but. You know, I think the onus has to be on the. And I also agree with Andy. You can't leave the meeting early, and that's a reason to think that the coach is a dictator.
Especially by the way,
you actually have to stay for the whole meeting.
I mean, I could see if Tom Brady were allowed to leave quarterback meetings earlier, something, but. The defense stinks. I don't care how many picks you guys had. You weren't a very good defense. So, no, you're not leaving the meeting early. You don't know all there is to know that I'm going to talk about late in this meeting. It's not just for rookies. We all need to stay.
You know, the bottom line is whatever they brought Corwin Brown in to do, he didn't do well enough to keep his job.
Well, not
necessarily, because the counter report from Tom Curran of, as you like to say, CNNSSSNE.com, was that
I think it's NNN.
He was brought here. It was a kind of a bridge year for him. He was brought here in a 1 year role. He did that, fulfilled that role well, and is now moving on.
Okay, well
that is what Tom Curran is writing.
That is
now
another side.
Just to be fair, Freddie, not necessarily buying that one either.
I'm not buying it one bit.
I think there was a problem with Corwin Brown.
Because I would believe
that. I don't know
what
it was.
Well, they did it with Dom Capers, didn't they?
That was a bridge. That was a bridge.
Yeah.
But Dom Capers went to another job.
Right.
I would have thought, had this come up, Corwin Brown would have sent out the release that Corwin Brown has accepted the defensive coordinator job at Michigan.
But if the agreement was, look, we're only going to pay it for 1 year, and then, you know, you need to find another job, and then that's it.
There's a lot of people.
And he did the job well, and you wouldn't keep him?
Well, but. If you only brought him in for 1 year, you probably didn't give him a ton of responsibility, because then you have to replace that guy.
But if he did good enough, you wouldn't want to lose the guy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. If that was the agreement, and you really didn't create,
I don't think they only brought him in for 1 year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't buy that.
I'm just arguing that side.
I just think it didn't work out for whatever reason. I also don't buy he flat out can't coach.
Yeah.
That career's over.
Somewhere in the middle lies the truth.
Cavern in Gainesville says, what are your thoughts on the Deadspin piece about Dirty Sanchez and the 17-year-old girl? I can't attach the story because I'm emailing from my iPhone. I'm sure it's dumb, but any negative news about the Jets I love because I freaking hate them. When is the next paper out? We just came out with an issue on Tuesday.
It's a good one. Go get it. Newsstands now. Well, maybe not in Gainesville, but...
Subscription.
Dirty Sanchez, I laugh at this.
Yeah,
I think,
good joke.
I think it showed somewhat poor judgment. He didn't do anything wrong, though. He's only 23. She was legal in that state, 17. And if she's really, really hot.
She's
well,
not. That's the biggest problem. Oh, she's not all that hot. That's the biggest issue. If she were ridiculously hot.
I could always eat your salad.
If she looked like Brooklyn Decker and she was 17, I give him no problem, free pass. But she looked like an average high school girl.
But isn't beauty in the eye of the beholder? So if he thought she was really
But
hot.
He has the world. He's the starting quarterback of the team in the biggest market in the world. You don't think there are a million girls that look like this girl and are a little older?
Again, poor judgment.
Yes, okay.
ugly. I'm with Fred's poor judgment, not Andy's poor judgment.
He's going to get the kick out, boom, right there.
But it's not a big deal.
But anything that can cause a distraction is a good thing.
But it's far less interesting than the foot fetish.
Yeah,
that's way more interesting.
I don't think it's much of a distraction, but it is something to be able to make fun of him about.
Sure.
And, you know, you have the jailbait kind of a chant or something like that. All that stuff. Have at it.
They are a bunch
of
freaks in that locker
room. You know,
What's wrong with just finding a girl your age and having regular sex with her and liking her boobs?
And the funny thing is, one of the pictures the picture they had of her, she's smoking a cigarette. And, I just think of the picture that somebody sent me of Sanchez.
By the way,
bar,
she's not even legal to do that.
Smoking a cigarette. And I just... made me think another thing if
that,
Jets
that
fan knew
bothers me more if I'm a
yeah,
Jets fan.
Exactly. I just
he's getting winded on some drive late like Donna McNabb because he's got emphysema or whatever.
Yeah. He smokes cigarettes, Sanchez.
Oh, Sanchez smokes?
It's not cardiovascular.
Like your president.
He quit. He's done. He's clean.
Supposedly.
Yeah, right.
He's clean.
Sure.
By the way, Freddie, we've had a phone call on the line for probably like an hour.
Oh really? Oh, Damora Smith is it's Larry from Miami. Hey Larry, how you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Sorry to make you wait that long.
Did you get a nap in while you were waiting?
Oh yeah, man. But it's fine because we can hear you on the phone, so that's cool. So
right,
you still get the to hear the conversation. So, but I wanted to thank you guys because I love the reason I listen to this show is how y'all switch gears so quickly. Is we first started off an hour with about the CBA and then. I was thinking that we probably ain't gonna get to Patriots stuff, but we did. But first thing I want to say about the CBA, I already told my buddies that I would go out in the street and strike if the NFL do lock out and then we don't have the best product on the field, and I will protest that. And that about the CBA with these guys is just like I told my little cousin, he went up play football in California, I told him, he's a product. Anything that happens to you, your investment is your body. Just like those owners, their investment is into the players and all these other stuff they invest in. it's a risk you take, you know, and you can maximize your investment. But at the same time, you can't be complaining about stuff and you put yourself in a situation. And these guys, remember, they're not men yet, because I believe, like, you a man until you're like 30 something, because we, you know, I'm 22. So you guys are 22, 25. In our generation, we just thinking about, you know, the now. And, you know, it's the older guys that think about later and 10 years from now what I'm going to do. But these things is, you know, they just got to hammer that thing out, because they're making a big money in this market. And nothing beats the NFL. And right now, I don't got nothing to do. Playoffs is done. Super Bowl is done. There's nothing to do. It's the biggest market. So They just need to knock something out, because it's a win-win situation for them. And it's the fans that's going to lose at the end. So,
yeah.
That's how I feel.
Absolutely, Larry. I'm right.
I'm with Larry.
You. Yeah. All right. So. Thanks, Larry. John at South Carolina says, I would not open my books, even if the confidentiality agreements are signed in blood. Ask the Major League Baseball, didn't the MLBPA sign a confidentiality agreement? Once it's out, it is out there, and there's no putting it back away. The idea that if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't worry is failed logic. That sentiment is the same thing that is said when we hear about illegal wiretaps, search and seizures, and general abuse of power.
All right. I just want to clarify something. I generally agree with what John just said. Can we stop with the – I mean, I thought it was funny when Robin used the, you know, the police state, and now we got wiretapping. Can we just eliminate the real world stuff with the business of football? Because I know we like to say it's a business, but it really ain't. It's a game. And they're making a lot of money playing the game. It's not as serious as the wiretapping and the violation of your rights that go along with things like that in a police state. It's not the same thing. I agree with you. I was just sort of playing devil's advocate for the player's side with Fred on the whole thing with the something to hide. But it's not as serious an issue as that. Those are a little bit more weighty than I think we need to be delving into.
Since we don't have cameras, I need to let our listeners in. They're praising Eric for, you know, his nuts dropping on Tuesday and becoming the man of the show. Well, he took another major step today.
What is this, Hard Knocks?
Another major step.
He just picked up on that. We've been talking about it for 45 minutes.
I mean, he used to sit here with a salad that had a little bit of oil and vinegar mix in his little Tupperware, and he'd pour it on.
I still bring
then
that.
Then he'd get a little piece of bread and clean out the Tupperware. Today, he ate a pepperoni and black olive pizza. Then out of a bag,
he
out of nowhere.
The whole thing, though.
I don't care. Today, when you follow it up with a buffalo chicken wrap that you just have as
half
a side.
Half a one.
A side buffalo chicken wrap.
It was a half.
Eric, you're eating like a man.
It was a half.
Eric, are you getting laid?
We know that.
Trust me. You would know if that was the case.
Oh.
Oh, are you really? Going to bang Fred or something? Like, I don't get it.
Really?
No, I would.
Are you
going
to announce it to us?
Yes. I doubt that.
I don't think you would.
You have a little bit of a skip to a step.
What if as soon as everybody gets off, we're going
to be able, you would be able to tell.
What if we knew the person you were banging?
In other words, there was a reason to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Oh. No, you'd still be able to
tell. And I can think of at least two people you wouldn't tell me about, I don't think.
I can't think of anybody he would tell us about.
Oh, I could if it was like the girl from Eggpite who just he randomly met.
Oh, all right.
No,
right.
But it would be
that was the last one actually he told us about. And he didn't bang her. He played Scrabble.
Eggpite.
Yeah, you must have really sucked at Scrabble with your Eggpite. Eggpite for 23 points.
Joe in Burlington, Iowa says, I totally agree with Fred. The owners should not open their books to the union. Very simply because it will be used against them. Even if the owners
imagine that.
Even if the owners are losing a ton of money, the financial information will be twisted to appear to help the players' cause. That's the nature of negotiations. I don't know about that, but of course
it would be used against the owners.
Right.
That's why they don't want to do it.
Generally, unions stick together, right? Like if you're a union guy, you're an electrician,
supposedly,
you support most unions.
Yeah, you support.
Does that work with professional sports?
Well,
in the
1980s, when it's funny you say that, when the players struck, some of the, I don't know if it's the IBEW or whatever, they walked the line with them. So
solidarity.
That's just because they wanted autographs.
Yeah, it could be.
And would there be solidarity between
thank you.
Sports? Like MLB, NBA, would they support?
Knowing the nature of these narcissistic athletes, I doubt it.
And plus the fact that they're technically really not even unions, right?
No, I know. It's some different thing. But because I probably shouldn't say it. Forget it.
Well, all right.
eye impressions.
Is this when I?
If he's filtering himself, then we probably shouldn't.
Yeah,
say
we shouldn't.
Well, no, it's not.
It.
It's a rare occasion.
Well, I don't know if they're technically not unions though, because remember I showed you that
the
story.
The Players Association is not a union.
Remember I showed you that story in the Projo a couple of weeks ago about how the Rhode Island, I forgot which chapter, what union house it was, but they came out and told the Journal, hey, all 53 patrons, when they were doing the decertification thing,
mm-hmm.
and they said all 53 players ended up signing up with us, and they did that with all the other states too. So maybe as an entity, but as individuals,
I think baseball is a union, the Players Association in baseball, because that is. But I think there's a difference. I don't know what it is because
I used to.
I don't really.
I knew it for like a day.
I'm not really up on all that union mumbo jumbo.
Can we get back to the coaching staff issue though for a moment?
Sure.
Does it concern you?
What, that Corin Brown
that
left
it continues
and Mike
to
Weissig?
Get younger.
We don't know yet that it's getting younger.
Yeah,
there haven't been
The rumor is that Harold Nash will be moving up to
that's speculation.
But he's been here for a while. So,
no, I know. But Mike Woisek is a multi-time strength and conditioning coach of the year, well thought of,
six Super Bowl rings.
He's the dean.
So you're getting younger there, Harold Nash. If he can get everybody else to get in as good a shape as he is and get their biceps to grow like his biceps grow every time I see him, he's a great strength and conditioning coach. But you're still getting younger, right? And you even at safety, where Corin Brown's not that old,
there's
the other guy. And
again, is it a big loss, either one of them, really? I mean, Weissick probably more than Corin Brown, but you said it yesterday. We were just talking about it. Strength and conditioning coach, I got to imagine that there's other people out there that can do that.
I agree, 100%. You know? But I'm not really saying any individual one. I'm just saying kind of.
I also think it's
more and more every year. Somebody leaves.
Well, it's interesting to say because I was listening to Felger and, you know.
The world's coming to an end?
No, actually, I think it was Ordway and somebody was
everything is fine?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Somebody
was on the phone saying, you know, if they had that. And Ordway, of course, went into the litany of, you know, we're not that far. We're not talking about a team that's 7-9. You know, but I think what he failed to take into consideration, okay, they were 14-2 when they made the playoffs. If they had just a little bit more experience on the coaching staff, could that have made the difference between winning and losing against the Jets? I think it's completely unfair to dismiss that.
Right.
You can't just dismiss it.
Yet he did.
I think you can always get better. I think you can, you know, the Patriots, I remember years ago, they fired Larry Cannon and they brought in
Ernie
Zampezi. Now, it was probably a bad move, but I think they felt that we're going to make our coaching staff better.
All depends. Right.
Even though the guy we feel we have now is okay, we can get better. And I think the Patriots always need to be looking at that in their coaching staff, too.
And can they get away with just not hiring somebody? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Corwin Brown was the hire last year.
If you truly believe that there's no one out there that will make you better, don't do it just to do it. But, I think you need to look at that every year.
But if you know you're not going to get better with what you have, shouldn't you try to get better with somebody out there?
Yeah, but that's the point. You got to try to get better.
Well, do you really need – I mean, I understand your point. Do you really need a defensive backs coach who handles just cornerbacks and another one who handles just safeties, which is what they had last year? I'm not sure that made a whole lot of sense.
You do if the guy handling corners can't handle safeties.
Well,
we're just going to make James Sanders do everything out there and be the coach on the field?
All right, can we get back to reality here? We're having a discussion, and we're all waiting for each other to finish.
We are?
What? Is that it? You done?
No, well,
no, I think it was a bigger issue last year, and now they're removing coaches, and why is this not an issue?
Well, what's going to end up happening, I think, is some of these coaching assistants, like the ones we mentioned, Brian Flores and Ferentz, mm-hmm. And the other one's escaping me. I know there's a third one. The name is escaping me right now.
Ricky Bobby?
Some of these guys are going to probably get elevated into positional roles, and there'll be new guys that take over, young kids that will take over as coaching assistants. Does that make you worse, better? I don't know. I don't know what Corin Brown did last year. Maybe he was a terrible coach, the way that some people said. Woisick, I kind of agree with Andy. I think he was a good special teams coach, a good strength and conditioning coach. I think he obviously has a track record that is second to none. No one has as many Super Bowl rings, player, coach, or whatever, as he does. But can you not win without a six-time Super Bowl winning strength and conditioning coach? I don't know.
Yeah, I also think
somebody did this year.
I also think it's well, yeah.
Good, Fred.
I also think it's a little overrated. That position gets a little overrated because they say, oh, well, if you have a good strength and conditioning coach, that means your players aren't going to get injured. How many guys? I don't think the two are related.
Especially when you don't have an off season like they might not have this year.
No, but I'm saying the two aren't necessarily related. Good point. You could be as strong and in the best condition of your life, and if you get hit in the knee like Kevin Falk did in the Meadowlands, that's not going to have anything to do with your strength and conditioning.
But people will still blame him.
Injuries, right. Injuries have nothing to do with your program.
But people relate the two.
Right.
People do relate the two. They say, oh, look, their strength and conditioning was obviously poor. Look how many injuries they had.
I know.
The two have nothing to do with each other.
It's
in
more,
most cases.
I think you could look at fourth quarter performance. And I think
well, that's
that,
conditioning. Yeah exactly.
That, yeah.
Nah, I think it's all bunk. They all do the same stuff.
They do.
For
really
like
do.
1 year, maybe one gets ahead of the other, but then it gets out what he's doing. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Nobody used chains, and now everybody does bench with chains, so it gets heavier on the way up. And, you know, for a while, all the MMA type stuff or the World's Strongest Man, we got tires out here. They're flipping tires. They're doing cross training just like everybody else. You don't, any small advantage.
When did
you
start doing that?
What?
You know, the chains, whatever.
No, I never started doing any of that. But it's been around for, I've never, not
Give
once have I
friend.
Lifted the chains.
Baloney.
Not
Baloney.
Once. It was just coming into popularity right when I was like leaving college.
And he couldn't join the Y because he had to go to Gold's. More plates.
By the way.
I picked things up at
You guys
down.
Should have been there yesterday. There were two kids, looked like high school kids, who came in. Literally, one of them had those old, like, Bret Hart reflective sunglasses where, like, and... They yelled during everything they did. First rep of everything. Kid actually did. They would. He was doing military press on the Smith machine, and he actually goes, "Oh, too light." And I'm like, "Are you freaking kidding me?" I'm looking around. I'm like smiling, and I'm like, "Is anybody else really watching? I mean, am I on candid camera right now?"
Are you sure
now?
They weren't high?
And you wonder.
It was amazing.
You couldn't get me in one of those places.
Kind
of
like my Mark Sanchez thing. If you're gonna make, first of all, nobody makes noise on rep one. Unless you're maxing out. I mean, if you're doing a set, you don't make noise until the end.
Right.
When you're really exerting force.
Right.
But you really don't make weight when you're using a 65-pound dumbbell. If it's not over 100, you don't make any noise. I'm sorry.
What if you're not up to my standards, you don't make noise at all.
But they weren't. They were doing... But even that, no, you don't.
Oh, not over 100.
If somebody else who could be in the gym could do twice as much weight, keep your mouth shut.
And Andy's always in the
gym.
Keep
your mouth shut.
So you should always keep your mouth shut.
No, because I'm
real
not
gym
and Azubas nearly as strong as I once was. But why are you yelling on rep one and yelling for everybody? You're too light, not heavy. Are you freaking kidding me?
So what did you do?
Nothing. I just laughed.
See, if you were Paul, you would have had to do
if
something.
If I were Paul
no,
or
I
Brian
laughed.
Morey, I would have went over there and punched him in the face until I stopped
because
breathing.
Because it would embarrass me, and because I can't lift that much. That would make me leave.
No, but I'm saying if Andy had your personality, but his...
Oh, okay, maybe then.
Right, you would have done something.
You know, with his, you know, his so what, you know, godlike strength.
We're now melding the faults of me and Paul. It'd be a terrible human being. I really did. I thought of Paul because I just, it would have
That's
just,
why I don't go.
That's why he doesn't go to the gym because people like that.
Oh, I shouldn't say that's why I don't go now. That's why I didn't go when I was 25.
I resign.
And they have to be in high school. I was just, I couldn't believe it.
That
just
is ridiculous. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, James. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Jimmy.
I told strippers I'd talk to you. When you're looking for window treatments for that new home you're building, make sure you check out Verticals Etc. at blindsnh.com. They come right to your home.
Again?
Verticals Etc. The website is blinds, blindsnh.com.
Yeah, I've already got blinds. I just thought I'd do strip as a favor.
I knew he was getting another read.
James,
in there.
James, what did you think of Fred's accent yesterday or on
it
Tuesday?
It was fantastic. I almost crashed my car, actually. I was driving along. And I almost ended up in the ditch on the side of the road. I was crying with laughter. One of the best moments in the show. On that, Fred, I got to agree with you about not opening the books in terms of the owners.
Yeah. I'm not surprised you don't want to open your books.
Yeah, exactly.
You ran a shady security company in Iraq and you got a bunch of money.
I think we're breaking up there.
One of the reasons is purely from what my experience is that there's a million and one ways to actually account for what you're doing. There's a general accepted accounting standards. And so, for example, for things like depreciation,
legal.
For your debt, for things like that, there's a million and one ways you can actually deal with it. So
illegal.
One company may... No, it's not a question of
I'm
legal
just
or illegal.
James, I'm
no,
kidding.
There's
I'm
an entire kidding. Gray area in the middle.
James, no, I'm just kidding. I get it. I do. I, like I said, I was just sort of playing player union devil's advocate with Fred on that. And I mean, I get it. I get why the owners don't want to open the books.
I think it's more due to how complicated it will be, because there's 32 ways to slice and dice your figures. And one company that says they make $5 million, another company that says they make $10 million, in fact, are exactly the same business. And the only difference is one deals with depreciation in one way, one deals with their assets, one structures their debt in one way. Some of the teams will have the debt from their stadiums rolled into their figures. Others will spin it off. Some teams will be a combination of about 15 different companies. They'll have a different company for their retail and merchandise. They'll have a different company that deals with the employees. They'll have a different company that deals with
exactly
the way they structure their capital assets and things like that. So
yep,
I think it's more of a complication issue.
I get it. I do. I get that. Like I said, I was just sort of playing devil's advocate for the other side.
But it gets back to the question that Eric brought up early in the week. It's like the owners walk a line between, are we partners with the players in this great NFL business and we both need to move forward, or are we not?
I don't think that the players are partners. The players are an asset, the players are employees, and they'll never be partners, because in essence, players never take business risk when they're playing. And it's not as if a player that plays for a team that has less profit makes less money. There's no way when a player signs a contract, he's going to accept a contract that says, okay, your salary is going to be X, Y, and Z if we make this much money. If we make less money, your salary is going to be less. If we make more money, your salary is going to be more. The players always get a guaranteed salary, well, a guarantee to
right,
their performance, not on how the business does. You know,
but over
I'm
the
sure
long
there's...
term, it's based on how the business does, because the salary cap is tied into revenues. So not for a specific season, but for over a 10, 20-year span.
But once you sign that contract, that's it.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah, the players do not take business risk, if that makes any sense. The player, you know, if the Patriots have 3 years of losing money, let's say, the players are going to still get the same wages, and Robert Kraft will go out and he'll restructure his loan, he'll take money, he'll do whatever. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's up to the owner to fulfill his obligation, and he has a certain amount of risk involved in that. I mean, it's the players are not affected by Jerry Jones's stadium deal and how much, you know, debt he's taken on personally and all things like that. Now, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, Jerry Jones stood up in front of the players and said, right, we need new stadiums, so each of you is going to be on the hook for $50 million of debt. That's never going to happen.
Right.
So in essence, they're never going to be part, which is fine. If I was a player, I wouldn't want to be partners in it. I'd simply want to be an employee with guaranteed income. And in terms of the revenue sharing, I think you can just look at the revenue, because it's wrong for all the players to benefit if one team is doing particularly well in an area, such as marketing or the internet. Those revenues shouldn't be shared across the league, because it's up to the individual team that's actually making them. Secondly, things like that obviously take investment. Internet just doesn't start producing money from day one. Marketing doesn't produce money from day one. You need to invest initially
right,
a certain amount of capital money that other teams aren't willing to do.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now we know why you're rich, because you side with the rich guys.
No, but
you
know,
the
rich
guys. What he's saying is terribly like the NFL. If I'm rich.
Yeah,
but you treat us great. That's why we love you.
Yeah, but
exactly
yeah.
And that's the only reason why I'm agreeing with you, by the way.
Good.
Yeah, our lunches are fixed, right? Those aren't related to your business moving forward.
And we don't have to share those with the other 31 teams.
We will see.
Right. All right, James. Well, thank you very much. And I think everything that James said to me is spot on. But I think there is still an argument on the other side. I'm not dismissing the union argument. Believe me.
Well, that's what I was trying to do when we were talking about it. Not necessarily... Like, I can't understand why the owners would want to keep their books closed or private. I get it.
Yep. Derek from the University of Arizona says he just got an Android phone and he wants to know if there's a Patriots app for it. Absolutely. Go to the Droid Marketplace, and it's called New England Patriots 2010. I know in Android it's the Wild Wild West, because it's not like Apple where you have to go through this whole submission process. So there's like a billion Patriots apps. But the official one,
it's like the Wild Wild West,
is New England Patriots 2010.
There are no rules.
New England Patriots 2010 is the official Patriots app.
Robert got a new phone this morning, his new iPhone.
I saw that. He
tweeted
got the Verizon.
By a real Patriot,
Verizon iPhone.
Activated.
Yeah. I thought that was a good use of social networking, because you don't want to put ads on social networking. But I think it was a good use of the Patriots to use Twitter to help out a sponsor, Verizon. Right.
It was an ad.
And it was cool. Oh,
Robert Kraft is cool. He's got an iPhone on Verizon. Yeah. You'd be cool, too.
That was a good use of a social network, I thought.
And read between the lines.
Right. Now we know that you can't call Robert because he won't get Verizon he will.
Zach from Syracuse says, I was not at all surprised to see Slash come out on stage with Fergie. Fergie was a guest artist on Slash's latest solo album on a song called Beautiful Dangerous. Okay, so maybe they're going together? Who knows? does Fergie have a boyfriend?
Yeah,
those two kids.
Does Fergie have a boyfriend?
She's married,
Who
believe.
Who says going together?
Josh.
Josh Duhamel?
It's and going out.
My grandfather.
I was going to say. Cheated on her, I think.
He's got a good life. You know he was doing some of the girls on that Vegas show.
Probably.
He probably did What's Her Name in Transformers.
Megan Fox.
Yeah. You like her?
Yeah.
Overrated.
Ugh.
The girl in Vegas is hot.
I like her. Oh, I like her.
From
Nikki Cox?
The brunette.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the other one.
I like
Vanessa Marcil.
That's the one.
She's hot, too. Nikki Cox.
Paul has posters, apparently.
knows all the names. You don't remember when we used to watch Vegas in here?
Be on behind.
I don't know their names, though. I just knew they were
I know their breasts.
Yeah.
You know Megan Fox?
Well, I know that. Yeah, she's...
Same thing.
Yeah.
You got a little thing for her, huh?
Right?
I think she's hot. Come on.
I mean, it's not like we see this girl all the time
overrated.
At Good Food Store, and I'm like, oh, Jane Smith.
What if
that
she
would
have
be creepy.
Cornhole? I mean, I don't...
A vagina?
Yes, and my point would be, so does every other woman on the planet.
But you know, hers
I don't think she has anything remarkable. I don't think she has a great ass, a great breast, great face, great anything.
Really?
I don't see it. Wow. What is her... Like Brooklyn Decker.
I don't
she's
think
got
she's
something
ugly.
Not a lot of women
I like
have.
Breasts. I'm passionate
big,
about breasts.
Beautiful breasts. What does Megan Fox have that no one else
I
has?
Think she's just perfectly...
Boo-boo Tinkums.
I'm not saying she's the hottest out there, but she's pretty
Plus,
hot.
I thought you like, bah!
I do.
She doesn't have that.
I do.
Shelf.
I do.
Your girl was at the Super Bowl. You see her?
Good.
Who's that?
The sideline reporter for Fox. What's her name?
Pam?
Pam Oliver?
She's long gone.
Huge forehead.
Got a little too
big.
She's got Peyton Manning's forehead.
I've been off her for a decade.
Well, I never knew you were on her.
Sure. Yeah, Freddie, when were you on her?
I know. I was just going to say, she's glad about that.
Fox, skank.
Zach from Syracuse also says, on to football. With the Pats running the ball more.
It'd be funny if she listened to the show.
Who the hell is that fat, bald jerk?
Hey.
Megan from Hollywood is on the phone.
As long as we don't say anything bad about Phil Simms' son, I think we're okay. You hear about that?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Well, I didn't hear about it. Tell me.
Well, he challenged Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard said something about his son, who's a quarterback.
Worst quarterback.
He was
the
Titans.
Who did he play for now?
Tennessee. Yeah. It was them against LSU, and Desmond Howard said a chance to see the three worst quarterbacks in the SEC.
Because LSU has to play two.
Because they play two.
So Phil Simms
at the Super Bowl,
Phil
they ran
Simms
into each other at a party. Simms
threatened
had some words. It escalated, and then
little tonic involved.
And then what's his name tweeted that he just got assaulted. Well, yeah.
So bad
Phil
enough
Simms
that Phil Simms did
something
stupid by first of all, not even understanding.
So there
were
no Miller Lights involved.
Oh, there might have been.
No, I don't think so. It was in the middle of the day, I believe, at like the media.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
I don't think it had. I think he was working.
Desmond Howard was at a table. Like, I don't know if he was signing autographs or whatever.
Because Simms had NFL people with him.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh,
so I doubt that he was.
I think this was
drinking.
Middle of the day. Both came off bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Simms was ridiculous for reacting the way he did, and then Desmond Howard equally so. For tweeting it out there like a little girl.
Could have had,
and according
had Jim
to one
Nance
report,
announcing it,
saying, I'll fight, basically saying, I'll fight you, I'm here, let's do this, and then turning to security and say, you really going to let this happen? Like, basically, hold me back, guys, hold
me
back.
Right. Yeah.
What a
tradition.
Because I might,
other.
I mean,
Desmond Howard.
I don't know how I would react if somebody talked about my kid. I might, if I saw
a
him,
tradition,
I might
indeed.
Fight him.
Yes, indeed, Paul.
Well, I guess, I mean.
Well played.
I can understand how Simms felt, but I think he's got to have a thick skin when you got a kid.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And Felger made a good point about this yesterday. Especially your
that
Phil
800
Simms,
number.
That's
I
your
it.
Job.
Exactly.
You have the same exact job.
Right.
So now,
how many fathers of players could have come up to Phil Simms over the years and said,
we're to believe that he won't do that.
Right. Which is not doing your job.
So he's not doing his job,
that's,
right? We're now to me to not believe. 90% of the analysis that he has because
he's trying not to offend.
He's not going
to
offend anybody. He's holding back what he really thinks.
That's
because he thinks that's what you should do.
That's a good point.
So ridiculous. And I like Phil Simms personally. I think he's a good guy and whatnot, but that's ridiculous.
Anyway, Zach from Syracuse, with the Pats running the ball more, do you see them adding a true fullback? They haven't had one since Heath Evans. Enter Stanford fullback Owen Marsek. Marisic?
Yes. Yeah. The second one, not the first.
Marsek, whatever you say.
He blocked for Gerhardt last year, and he also plays inside linebacker. He had a rushing touchdown and a pick six against Notre Dame.
Right.
So I think he could be the special teamer that we've been missing since Larry Izzo.
He certainly could be a Patriot. I don't know if they would draft him just to be a fullback to run the ball, but his versatility, his style.
Andy, they drafted Matthew Slater.
Be a fine special teams player.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Bill falling in love with somebody like that, the image of him. But
I don't see them, however, incorporating a fullback into the offense.
No.
They don't run the ball more. They didn't run the ball more this year.
And they spread it out tight ends. That's what they use their tight ends as fullbacks when they need to.
Or their extra offensive linemen.
No, but I'm just saying they motion the guys in, and he becomes a fullback essentially on the play.
Right. I mean, it seems pretty clear to me
that
that's
Heath Evans go.
They want to have, but even then, they didn't really even use Heath Evans as a fullback. He was one of their five running backs that came out of the backfield and caught the ball. He ran it occasionally. And, yeah, he lined up like Sammy Morris now occasionally lines up as a fullback. I don't think they'll have one of those Owen Schmidt guys, the Terminator for the Jet, just a
John Connor.
Fullback.
Right.
I don't think they'll have that because I think that Bill looks like he wants to have more versatility with the roster and other places.
And he's rated as, I believe, like a third-round pick right now. I'm not sure they'd go that high for good point with Matthew Slater, though. I don't know how high they'd go.
Do you think Sammy Moe is officially gone?
Oh, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
This
Fred Taylor, Sammy Morris, gone.
He's my boy.
Oh, I like Sammy Moore. I was just wondering why.
He's a good guy. I had to do a lot of junk with him for 98.5 when I was there. He did a lot of like.
Did he know you worked
stuff.
There?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
I like when Andy just gives me the smile.
This is from the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon via strippers. The Hall Speaker Series to feature Devin McCourty.
Presented by Raytheon.
You needed strippers, not the release that got sent out.
Yes, Patriots cornerback Devin McCourty, who just completed one of the best seasons by a rookie in franchise history, will be a Speaker Series guest at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
On Tuesday, February 15th at 6:30.
Good.
So this Tuesday, 6:30, go to the halofpatriotplace.com.
Presented by Raytheon.
To reserve your tickets.
First time he's made me laugh in a long time.
Ever, maybe. My girl Liz Mullen at the Sports Business Journal.
Why is she your girl?
I don't really actually care for her. She seems like quite the
Are you
business.
Going with her, Andy?
So people you don't care for become yours?
She looks kind of ugly on her little teeny,
Andy.
Oh, man.
2/8 of
a it's not an actress.
Well, that you know.
She's somebody's mother.
How do you know?
I don't know.
She looks relatively young.
Someone's her
She's
mother.
Definitely somebody's daughter. Yeah. Well, probably.
That's true, Paul.
Breaking. Breaking. NFLPA.
I wanted to deal on absolutes.
He's got some big news
You
here.
You going to yell at them? How come?
I said something, all right?
Breaking. NFLPA executive director Demoris Smith tells players that NFLPA's rookie wage scale proposal amounts to a veteran wage scale in eternal union memo.
So the rookie wage scale proposal.
Breaking news, though.
The rookie wage scale proposal amounts to a veteran
wage scale. That's in quotes. A veteran wage scale with big V, big W, big S. All in quotes, meaning it was in the memo in that exact phrase.
Is there anything more
means.
To that? Yeah, I don't know.
No, she doesn't even have a link. You know, those mini links. I'm learning how to do those bit links where I go to that bitlink.com.
Strippers.
Is there
any more
at the end? Is there more to come?
No.
Yeah, is there something else that's going to come?
Nope. And also, if you want to go to dinner with Rob Gronkowski, there's a local radio station giving away dinner with Rob Gronkowski, limo ride, 3 hours with Rob at dinner.
Which could go one of two ways.
It's either the worst night of your life because the conversation will not be tremendous.
I think you're right.
Or he gets gronked and you get gronked with him and you have the night of your life.
Yeah.
Think the brothers will come?
That's what I was going to say. If the brothers come, you're all getting gronked.
You should hear the commercial because it's like.
Was he in it?
No. It's like this big radio voice and it says, Rob Gronkowski has a problem. He's bored or something. And it's this weird.
Do you ever think that, like, Bill drives around?
So what did we do?
Hears a promotion like that and said, what the?
Oh, yeah.
He's bored. I got something for him to do.
Damn it, I can't tell him to do anything right now.
It's a joke.
Go rake my
leaves. It's a joke.
Is that Bill?
Yeah, it's a joke.
Sounds funny.
Is it?
That's Bill Belichick?
Play that again?
Yes.
It's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
It's a joke.
Definitely.
Yeah. From when?
I don't know.
Wow. Sound effects, I got that off of.
Sounds very young.
Yeah,
he sounds
that was on that
upset.
NFL Network special.
Do you know when he said it?
I'd have to go back and look at it.
Was it Giants or Patriots?
It was definitely Patriots.
Huh. Okay.
I think it was right when he was yelling at J.R. Redmond.
Another update from SBJ Liz Mullen. NFLPA's D. Smith.
Andy said BJ.
He's unbelievable. Can we get rid of him? NFL proposing 5-year wage scale that would impact 3 to 5 year veteran players. Quote, the core of our membership.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, that's a change. It was supposed to be just rookies.
I still don't really get it.
Like they would have a certain amount.
I only have 140 characters.
No, but there already is. What did they mean by a scale? I mean, like the scale would be.
Like you couldn't, if you're a 3 to 5 year veteran, you can't go above a certain amount. There'd be a ceiling.
But you never know, though.
But see, what would it be?
But see, that's just half. That could be half the argument. Maybe what the players have proposed is that free agency starts after 3 years, and then the owner said, "Okay, but then we're gonna want a 3 to 5 year veteran." Right.
Well, that's and then on the other side. The owners could be saying we want to extend free agency to 5 years.
You don't,
and that's
exactly
why we got 3 to 5 year.
Right. You don't know.
You know, instead of restricted free agency, we're going to do away with restricted free agency altogether and just make unrestricted free agents after 5 years.
Right.
Maybe that's what the owners are trying to propose, and that's why the play. Because I don't really get it. I don't see where that's that big a deal.
Yes, it's
without knowing what the numbers are.
Right.
I mean the parameter, like you said.
How did this come up?
The minimums. There's already minimums for those. Those years for every
sounds like there's going to be maximums,
right? If the maximum is, you know, what say the restricted free agent tenders are now.
Yeah, to me,
I don't, you know, is that bad for
on the surface
a
3 to 5 year cap or makes no doesn't it seems unnecessary with the fact that you have an overall salary cap. You know, the whole idea was to minimize these huge contracts that are coming in from the top five rookies.
Right.
So something must have happened to trigger this proposal to offset something else.
Yeah. I don't know. But she's the only one tweeting about it. It's not like one of those things where they're all tweeting about it all at once. So she's got a good source with access to apparently some memo that was distributed by.
Yeah.
Well, do we know where?
That's because Meehan's trying to confirm it.
Do we know where the meetings were taking place? Yesterday's meeting.
In an undisclosed location in or around Washington, D.C.
So DeMaurice Smith's office.
We don't know.
That's where he's from.
That was what?
Yeah. Well, also, that's where NFL legal is, too, I think, D.C.
Oh, really?
Pash?
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
Jeff Pash? Isn't that where he's from?
No,
they're all
New York.
So that's where the meeting was yesterday?
Somewhere around D.C., yeah.
Until they stormed out.
Hey, guys,
what
and Eric.
What a popsicle headache you'd get at one of those meetings.
Joel and Merrimack says,
Screw you, Joel.
The whole talking over each other thing is fine. I have come to expect
no,
you
not.
To
Good,
butt
I'm
in.
No, it's
I don't
not.
Want to bother you. But,
it sucks.
On each other. It is part of what makes your show great. It makes it more interesting to try and decipher what each of you said.
Makes the show more of a challenge.
If you take each of your turn and speak in calm, proper voices, then you become something like NPR, and that would suck to the root.
Easy.
Hey.
So keep the vicious interrupting banter going. If you have a reason next year, if you have a season next year, do you see the Pats using the franchise tag on anyone?
Logan Mankins.
Well, we just talked about that, right?
Pay attention.
Fred gets angry.
An hour and 45 minutes ago.
Also, by the way, today was Cam Newton's media day.
Yes.
Trent Dilfer just said,
happen?
That was phenomenal. If scouts saw this, they'd have been slobbering.
Well, then scouts should see it.
Right? I have a question. How do they decide which media guys to send it to?
Why
was Trent Dilfer there?
I don't know.
So you don't know. I see.
It's usually what it means when I say I don't know.
Because supposedly it was an invitation event. I assume.
Which he's now moving down my big board if he doesn't want to invite me to his.
Exactly. I assume
we'll give him dirty looks at the
combine. I assume like PFWA. They probably have a master email list.
Sure.
They all got invited.
But
we didn't get invited because we work for the team.
Right.
And
despite
the
fact that many of their members are more
in the
pocket of the
team than we ever
would
be. We don't need goldfish, so we're not allowed in their little club. It's kind of like a college frat, you know?
And we dress professionally, unlike most of their members.
Wow.
He's very angry, angry. Big
sweater
man.
Day.
It is sweater day here for everyone. Is that a sweater, Paul? Is that qualified?
That looks like a sweater.
It counts.
So only kinda Paul sorta. Isn't. I mean, only Fred is not wearing a sweater.
He never
He's
does. Got though.
Jeans and sneakers and an untucked shirt on for some reason.
This is my black and gold sweater that I wore the night of the Steelers game.
That's navy blue.
I see it. Thanks.
I see it. Black and gold. Support your team.
And navy blue and tan.
Sure, tan. Yeah.
Jim in Detroit says, "Hey guys, and Kevin, I have to agree with you about your sentiments regarding the weight room. I've gone to Eastern Michigan University for 3 years now, and we get these high school baseball recruits and football running backs who make more noise than, well, they make a lot of noise.
I know what you're
saying. I've been lifting for all 3 years of my enrollment, and even the regulars who bench 75 pounds more than me refuse to yell or call for more weight during a rep.
Too light.
The hot shots who bench less than 200 are the ones making all the noise.
How it always is.
That's not true.
When the 250-plus guys lift as if it's business as usual.
That's exactly. That's not true. Doesn't matter how much weight you're lifting.
It's how many knots you have in your head.
Andy, what did you put up in your prime?
Meatheads make noise.
That's right. I agree with Paul.
Know.
I'll bet you when Andy was in his early 20s, he made a lot of noise. Lifting.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But
and then when he was spotting exactly. Vic, it's all you. This is all you. It's all you. You can do it. Nope. Push it up. Push it up. Yeah!
I will say, maybe like ninth grade, we may have gone through that.
Paul has a lot of, you know, angst about that. I can tell it.
Because I'm everything he hates.
I'm telling you, it kept me out of the weight room.
I could see Paul spotting
your
for
laziness
Andy.
And your addiction to eating and drinking.
Listen,
kept you out of the weight room.
Don't confuse 42-year-old Paul with 22-year-old Paul. Different guys.
He was a dynamo back then.
All I ever wanted to do was whatever sport we could possibly play at 24 hours a day.
No, I agree. But you didn't want to put
in
the
work. I don't
want
to do that now.
The work that
2 hours
behind the
tops.
Scenes.
I'm just telling you.
You had no desire to
it
work.
It was something
you
that was ingrained in me. I realized at an early age that I could not bench as much as a lot of guys that were my age, and it intimidated the crap out of me, and then I dealt with that.
So instead of trying
to work out
and bench more, you disappeared.
Fred and his protein shakes. It was embarrassing.
Why?
Because of meatheads like you.
Well, why don't you go
get
yourself a little bench at home and do it on your own?
I tried some of that.
Can spot for Andy.
Go to a different town.
But why do you need do you need to be validated by beating what somebody else does?
Eric,
why can't you just do the best that you can do?
You're attaching like grown-up logic to a problem that was a long time ago. In retrospect, absolutely. I should have just said, do what you can. You'll get stronger. You'll catch up to those guys.
But you know, you might
back
not,
then.
Well,
I
but
was
you might not catch up to those guys, but you might just still be fine.
He was intimidated because at home his father and brother would make fun of him.
My brother made fun of me endlessly.
Wow, now you're picking at some scabs.
It's not a scab. I'm just telling you what kept me out of the weight room.
My dad told me, you know, he grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and he said back in the day when his sister would go out on dates, he'd bring his friends over and they'd move all the weights to the front living room. So the friend would come to pick up,
and they'd be all
there with their shirts off. And, you
know. A bunch of losers.
I did over 1,000.
Just called your dad a loser.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, you know, when he told me, I said, really?
It's no different than that country song, I'll be sitting here cleaning my gun or whatever, like you clean your gun when the daughter's boyfriend
comes
over.
Right,
right. Whatever.
Keith in Central Florida, why does Bill continue to run his coaching academy USA?
Because back then, like you're in high school, no one's doing that much weight.
You know he takes
I'll get
it
back
personal
to your email in a
because he
Keith.
Was one of those guys.
No, but I think the funny
big
thing
time.
Is,
can like, you, big time.
Fred,
no, I've
don't
never
leave
made
me,
a
Fred.
Single noise.
Don't leave me. You
ever,
know.
Ever.
This guy's head was made out of media and mashed potatoes coming out of his ears. I don't know what that means, but it sounded good.
No matter what you say in that voice, it's funny. Never made a single noise ever. Ever.
And you used to throw up 400.
But it's
ever. See, he was the opposite.
Didn't make a single noise.
He would pile up the weight and be purposely silent and then look around to see who noticed.
You're dead on.
Who noticed?
Because you know what? I always did believe that. Like, if you're quiet and just do it, it's all that much more impressive.
Right.
Like, this is just what I do.
Right.
It's kind of like
I knew there was a hidden meaning somewhere.
There is. The only noise you
because
heard
why,
was when he dropped
Andy.
The weight.
Andy.
Like, right. My favorite right. thing to do on the
oh.
football field
oh.
was
no,
to pick
the,
somebody
the dumbbells?
Up.
Yeah. The dumbbells? Yeah. The
dumbbells? I'm the only one who interrupts, but these guys got their own damn conversation going on.
You so know I'm right.
Fred's dying.
What did he say?
Red is a tomato.
Oh, my God.
I missed it.
You've got those.
Because I was talking.
What was the minimum? Dumbbell that you couldn't go to that
100.
You can't go to Planet 60, Fitness
65.
Because they only have like
60s or
225 pound dumbbells.
No, it's 60
with.
Or 65.
Right.
You know,
so they don't come.
If
up
I
here.
Want Deidre to come work out with me, we've got to have more dumbbells.
There you go. And don't tell me for a second that you didn't look down on guys like me that couldn't lift anywhere near as much.
No,
as
not
you
at all.
Oh, you're
I looked
such
down
a
on the
liar.
Facility for we can't possibly have weight.
I'm talking
because
about
what people
like
don't
in college.
Understand is there's people that lift a lot of weight and do a lot of exercises that aren't meatheads, that aren't yelling, that don't have big gym bags, that don't, you know, there's regular people that have some strength.
Yeah, and I will say this, probably the biggest reason is when I broke my collarbone the two times and it set me back in the winter from lifting, and I already couldn't do as much as everybody else. It was, I'm telling you.
Right.
It was unbelievably.
You gave up.
I did.
Just took his ball and went home. Literally.
No, I did everything I could do. I try, you know, I was there every day. I it's not like I dreaded it. You're making it sound like it was like this emotional scar from it.
Oh, you did tell me you pretended to lift once. You put the weight on, waited for the coach to turn around, and then pretended you were taking it off because you were done.
No.
That's pretty weird.
One.
No, I didn't.
40.
No.
Yeah.
No. I didn't pretend to lift. I put down more weight than I actually benched.
I thought
There's
you said
difference.
You put the weight on, waited till he wasn't looking, and then took it off like you were finishing.
That's not quite what happened.
There was an issue here, though. He was
oh, absolutely.
Pretending to. I
did. No, you're not wrong. I told you the story. It's just
he doesn't want to open his books to reveal. Actually,
he's got something to hide in
you're
that
gonna,
aspect.
Andy, you're going to walk into his office, and he's going to be doing curls next week.
I know how this is happening.
About 3 o'clock.
Yes, he will,
Kevin.
Diet Pepsi.
Like no. 3 o'clock, I'll walk into his office, and he'll say, no, what really happened was, and he'll explain it and tell me the truth.
I'm telling you right now. I said,
I'll pretend that I'm being, like, really just listening and being a good friend, and then next Tuesday I'll tell everybody else.
But you don't have to get.
Thus the getting out there.
I'm telling you right now. I said I benched more than I did, and it was for, I mean, I suppose I could go to jail for fraud. It was for, like, a fundraiser.
Oh, good.
Did you tell him you had cancer, too?
Oh, my God. He shaves his head.
No.
Not much to shave.
I definitely, everybody warmed up, and what I did in my, like the warm up that everybody else did, and then everybody was moving up, and I just said,
I did that,
and I never did it. So you're right. I'm not lying. You are right.
You were lying.
No. You said that I didn't. That I lied
Fred's
about
crying.
Lifting. I did, but I didn't attack. Not lift anything and say that I did lift it. I mean, I said I lifted more than I did.
I did not have sexual relations.
Yeah, thanks,
with
Bill. Define sexual relations. Define lifting.
You know did I deny I the
Depends
story?
What, no.
I'm not denying
We're
the story.
Only kidding.
Depends on your definition of lifting.
I just didn't lift what I said I lifted. I did lift. There's a difference.
We all have our little skeletons in the closet.
And again, you're attaching grown-up logic to a 15-year-old kid. I didn't think about it through.
No, it can be, you know, it affects kids.
If it happened now, Fred, what would I say? I'd be making fun of the meatheads with my mouth.
Absolutely.
Paul, when you were back in high school, did you have
stuffed in garbage cans?
Whatever sport you were playing, baseball, whatever.
Well, I'm the toughest guy I know. I would punch them until they stopped breathing.
I didn't
breathing.
Say that.
Oh, no, they wouldn't touch me.
Why, because you're not afraid to get in a fight, does that mean you're that?
Just because you're not afraid doesn't mean you're not going to get stuffed in a garbage can.
By someone on my football team?
Well,
that
was
think,
the down.
I don't think so.
That was the down era in Everett, the one losing phase.
Maybe
of that
maybe
program.
The two tackles. Other than that, I'll take my chances.
Does this
with
have anything
else.
To do with your thing about hazing too? Is this related at all?
I told you I was never hazed. I just don't.
No,
agree
I know,
with
but
it.
You have your, you know.
What were you going to say over
were
there?
Were
you should get a
no,
couch
no,
here.
No, I was just asking.
Have people lie down and start a therapy thing. Each of us could like take turns. You know,
I was asking
just because I'm willing to.
No,
you know,
I hear
well,
you
and I both are.
Put
we
all
hear a lot out of these two when these topics.
Well, you can't. Well, come on. This guy, Fred,
well,
he's
I haven't
an open
heard
book.
A lot.
He's
Sometimes,
an open book.
With some information. He gives you little pieces.
Eric told us about beating the crap out of that kid.
Yeah, I didn't believe it.
At St. Mark's?
You want me to prove it? No.
Paul's, Fred.
St. Paul's.
He gets very offended.
What?
St. Paul's.
St. Mark's was the good one he wanted
no, no, no.
to go
no,
to.
No, 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 no.
Did he get into St.
No,
Mark's?
No, 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 no. No, didn't even bother. St. Mark's is below that.
But you applied.
No.
It's beneath
what?
Him, Fred.
But it's below. That's
Brown?
A lower rung.
Brown? I mean St. Mark's.
Wow.
Bitch.
Bitch.
That's the same. Right. What I was asking you, like, if, and you were in high school, is it the same as, like, when Andy and probably myself, in terms of, like, you had to lift?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the coaches, like, made
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Is,
yeah, and I went
every
day. If
it was you going on
day.
Your own accord or not.
No, yeah. no.
You went every day.
Yes.
But wait on.
I, no, but that's the stuff, but you, it's actually a good point. I only went when I had to go.
Yeah. Because
well, everybody else was doing all their stuff on their own, too.
Yeah, Andy, I don't know if this was the same like era for your high school, too, but we actually had all the coaches put in like with public money, put in a weight room in our high school. So
oh, yeah.
We would have to, like, they mandated it. You have to go on these
we
days.
Would, oh,
and
we would have,
times.
Like, Mondays, you'd watch film and just lift. You wouldn't.
How quick did you get into the 225 club?
I don't know. I started out pretty strong.
You
I was naturally
pretty
strong.
Sure that was my magic number for the fundraiser. Friend.
The thing is, though, you
that
both.
I do remember
that
I could do that. I lifted
135, which is a 45 on the bar.
Right.
I could do that. I'm pretty sure from day one.
Yeah.
I think in eighth grade we went.
What,
and others,
what was it?
Just putting the 45
on
the bar is 135.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids couldn't just do that from. Because most kids hadn't lifted until
eighth
grade. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about football.
Right.
They talk about
I never
it.
Lifted
and you
started
until high school.
And you started in the fourth grade.
I started in high school.
I had never
lifted.
I'd
never
that
lifted
was my
weight.
Point. I was naturally strong, so I had an advantage
early
on.
I think we started in the eighth grade and then, you know, kind of did a real.
But you guys, we were always told that if you start too early, you stunt your growth.
Look at me.
I don't know about stunting growth, but it can be dangerous.
Fred started in the fourth grade.
Yeah, but you guys all played football, though, too. And I didn't. I was stuck.
But you had to lift for all sports. Right?
No, I was stuck.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we had programs for baseball and stuff.
Yeah,
basketball
I was stuck.
Basketball and baseball.
Back when I went to
I played basketball, baseball, and instead of
they
football.
They didn't have weights back when you went to school.
We instead
had,
of football,
we had
I
the
played
the
golf.
The original Nautilus with the red bench.
The Nautilus.
Remember?
I do kind of remember those in like middle school in the back. Of
when did you start on the program? In high school or at Tufts?
What program are you talking about?
You know what I'm
you
talking about.
You know what program that we're talking about.
The creatine.
I did take Andro. I told you guys
did
that.
Did you?
And Dieter got mad at me.
Do you have the cream or the...
The clear.
No,
the clear.
Just a pill or whatever. Yeah.
Flaxseed
but
oil?
She claimed I was cranky and irritable Flaxseed. And like that it affected me.
Apparently you're still
stuff,
taking
Andy?
It then.
Silence.
Yeah, crickets. Wow.
Anyway.
You didn't even get a rim shot.
I know, nothing.
Sorry.
So, right.
So I was caught up in this. This is interesting.
This was the good,
was
best
bad.
Part of the show. Yeah. Good close.
Well, talking about our scorned childhoods when we
were
into just
this.
Here to,
they
just
love
here to
it
entertain.
When we go off topic.
Did you know what the Andro was all about when you were taking it?
No, probably not.
Was that
I mean,
college? What the hell are we listening to?
What am I
to?
Hearing? This was like pre-Maguire or right around then, like 97, like probably my freshman year in college, somewhere in there. Yeah, I think it worked. I had a good little energy, got a little stronger.
Derek, it was like five-hour energy only for like 25
hours. He couldn't pee in a cup and still
got a lump on my nut these days, but who cares?
Oh.
By the way, now that we're in the
that
off-season,
is your nut.
You still, Paul still owes us a trip to the batting cage. Remember, he said he was going to pitch to us?
Well, I went to, Fred, I went to pfwinprogress.com and started a thread if people had any show ideas, stuff they'd want us to do.
No, I want to see Paul's heat.
I thought we weren't interrupting anymore. And there were, like, a lot of responses, different ideas, some of them serious, some of them joking. The serious one was we should do a list every week, like a top five something every show where we come up with different top fives and talk about
with
lists.
You,
each
listeners
of us, each of us
contributing?
Have,
or?
Yeah, be yeah, a discussion yeah. in top yeah. fives, you know, right. your top five Patriot running backs
people like
or whatever.
Lists. They like
but,
lists.
One of them did remember that Paul has challenged us all, and they want this to come to fruition, that he throws, we bat, and we get Mr. Hall of Famer finally on the
field. I do really, really, really want to do that.
Me too.
I do too. Derek from the University of Arizona says, I couldn't agree more with the kid from Eastern Michigan. We have a ridiculous gym here at the school, and I refuse to go because I can't handle the fratastic and bros working out there.
It's a young Paul Perillo. Just go. Do
exactly.
your deed.
You're not
going to
get any better by
one.
Not going.
Don't feel out of place. Yeah. They're the
Listen,
dinks. They're the losers.
Exactly. Now, wait a minute.
Let me say this. You guys that are agreeing with me, I understand exactly what you're talking about. Obviously, you're going to regret it. Go. Go and get workouts in and
you'll
do what
like
you
Paul
need to
in
do.
20 years.
You'll regret it.
Or 10.
Stripper, you will regret it.
Stripper says that Paul should go to Planet Fitness because no one strong goes there.
That's true. A lot of ladies.
Now,
I pick
Andy,
things up and put them
now,
down.
I know Paul didn't do, but when you were going out with your buddies at night, you know, did you like work out just before you'd go out?
I wouldn't, but I had friends that did. I have friends that would literally, before we go somewhere, like get out
did
of the car and do push-ups
knows...
before we
go. Oh, get out.
I swear to God.
Did you ever notice?
To where do you go to meet? What town did you live
sure
in? Meatville or what? You know,
they're in every town. That's like there's a group in every town that works out, and it snowballs. These kids that were at the gym at Gold's the other day, they're in a group. They think it's normal. That's what all their friends do, and they're
well. Fred Smrella said
probably
they
high school
used,
football
they used to
players.
Take the mother's station wagon, load it up with their weights, and they'd bring it to the beach.
Exactly,
and work out at the
and
beach.
Work out at the beach,
and you think it's
weight.
Cool because Hulk Hogan lifts at Venice Beach, so we'll make our own little. You think it's cool at the time? It's all about what's going on around you. It's normal.
Andy knows exactly what you're talking about in every example,
right.
But every single
right.
one he
you
says,
didn't do any
"I didn't do it.
Right,
I didn't.
Yeah,
I did not.
Oh,
do it.
Please,
did not.
But all
this
your friends
is where
did.
If one of us said that, he would say,
you
I don't
got
believe
to my
it.
Philosophy. Very the heart of my philosophy on a lot of things is that whole
right.
Being quiet
right.
proves your right. Like I was saying on the football field, I used to love to pick guys up after you hit them because to me it's so demoralizing that the guy that just knocked me on my ass is
right.
now picking me up. That's how little he fears me or like. There's just some like
except
weird
when you're punching people in flag football and telling them to consider it.
I never threw a single punch. I never threw anything
except when you were taking his flag.
I had a ball thrown at me.
You punched him.
I never punched anybody.
In Andy's defense,
his story's straight.
In Andy's defense, he did challenge maybe the biggest guy at work.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for this edition of PFW Progress.
I was having another hour.
I wish we could.
One of the requests was for three shows a week.
Well, I got people
can AK-47 it up.
No one asked for AK-47.
If they want to come here and do my other work for me, maybe we'll do that.
You got doodles to draw and meetings.
I got things to do. All right. Well,
meetings to show up 25 minutes late.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We'll see you next Tuesday.
I lift things up and put them down.
All of times but now they're
this is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip?
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.